Okay, let's start the show.
It's September 8th, 2011. Welcome to This Is Only a Test, the official podcast of Tested.com. I'm Will Smith. We're sitting in a small, sweaty room.
I'm really sweaty.
I'm wearing my ninja fighting dinosaurs shirt
in honor of last week's conversation. Replace that dinosaur with a horse.
With a raccoon.
Well, I don't know if you can ninja jump a raccoon.
I don't know. I listened to that last night. It was a weird conversation. Norm, you're wearing another shirt that's not appropriate for video.
That's why we're not shooting a video today.
Well, we're shooting video right now.
It's appropriate for this video.
I guess that's true. We are, as before, we're going to try to make this a weekly thing. I don't know if it'll work with schedules and all, but live streaming the podcast out for subscribers, it's a premium member benefit. If you want to watch us do this live, which usually starts about 20 minutes late and it's kind of, all over the place, you're more than welcome to. This week, the folks watching are also helping us beta test one of our new premium member features for the Big Live Show Live, second edition. This time it's actually live tomorrow. I didn't introduce Gary yet. I'm sorry, Gary. Gary's here.
Hello.
He's wearing my t-shirt.
Yeah, this made. Yeah, I always enjoy your t-shirts, but the coffee one was the first one that I liked so much that I felt I had to have it myself.
Have you sized down due to your weight loss?
No, this is still an XL.
Just shoulder width is the
difference. I could have probably have gotten away with an L. But
you're looking
more
L.
Form fitting.
Yeah. I'm looking more L. Some of the XL stuff that I own is baggier on me than it used to be.
I get tire holes where things used to be snug.
I'm actually very pleased because I broke a weight loss milestone today, which I'd been trying to get to.
Are you down to like your mid-20s weight now?
Well, I don't know what I weighed in the mid-20s. I didn't give a shit in my mid-20s. I never probably stood on a scale.
If only you had a scale that tracked, if you weighed yourself every day.
They have those.
Your weight. Automatically online.
They're
Wi-Fi enabled scales.
There's a whole bunch of them.
And they will tweet your weight.
Withings is one of them. I just want to see a chart. Over 10 years, what your fluctuations are.
Well, I do that with the Wii Fit.
You can do that manually. There are websites online where you can just type in the weight.
There are
Wi-Fi enabled scales that will do that.
And there are
apps and stuff associated with them.
I'm a big fan of charting your life, everything in your life.
You like metrics.
Over 10 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Charting your happiness, charting your weight.
Yeah, one of the things that you think about more as you get older is you always find yourself wishing that you kept more things, like taking more photographs and just had a better record of things.
I don't, actually.
Because all your memories are unhappy, that's why.
No.
You don't want to revisit
those. Shrouded by trees.
Those dark, nightmarish Christmas tree tales.
God damn it. Why would you want to go back to that? It is mostly about the trees, but... my feeling has always been that when you're off doing something, having fun, experiencing something new, I see all these people with like giant cameras and they spend 20 minutes getting a picture when they could be doing something.
That's
that they
the problem is you're
remember.
So obsessed with capturing the moment that you kind of miss
the moment
itself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When you're at a concert, right?
Yeah.
You miss the entire good song. You want to get the record of the good song, but you also want to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You can't do both.
I don't know. It's easy now with a phone or something to record, to capture a snapshot or a little bit of video. It maybe diminishes the moment in the moment, like a small percentage, but the nice prize is that you always have something to go back and look at, for forever.
I think we dramatically overvalue the moment.
Do you?
No. Yeah.
I think just fix the moment in your memory. Instead of taking a picture, take a minute.
Not all of us have perfect memory.
Think about it. I don't have a perfect memory. It's pretty well established at this point. I used to have a good memory. Those were the days. You turn 30 and shit just starts getting – you get dumber every day, I think.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Speaking of people turning or getting older.
Today's Anna's birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Anna.
Happy birthday to Anna.
Yeah. So
I don't think she listens to the podcast. But
no, she definitely
birthday.
Doesn't listen to the podcast.
Doesn't she?
No.
She barely listens to what we say when we're not in podcast.
That's true.
But send her a tweet. A happy birthday tweet. It's at AHR. Let's see. Big Live Show live, second edition tomorrow. I've transitioned from being nervous and anxious about it to being excited at this point.
I got the opposite.
Oh, you?
Now I'm nervous and anxious. I have so much more work to do for this.
It sounds like you got a lot
show.
Of good stuff lined up.
Well, I woke up.
Amazing stuff
I woke up this morning, like at 4 o'clock in the morning, terrified. And I, of course, people follow me on Twitter.
This
know.
Is exactly what happened with the PAX panel also.
I didn't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning on the PAX panel
all
day.
The first thing you did when you woke up was I got the fear.
I didn't have the fear.
Part of that
briefly.
Was you had no idea what really we were going to do. We were working with Adonet. At least with the live show, you know you've got a lot of good content lined up.
Right. And you know it's not all on your shoulders.
It's not all us is now, the other thing.
Traditionally, you know, in the vein of sequels, you know, they tend to be bigger and better and more ambitious than
it
the,
is bigger
than,
and
this,
better.
This is the
we
case.
We have a lot of guests.
Yeah.
So I think we can talk about some of these
things?
A little
things?
Bit. We can't reveal everything because we want to have some surprises.
Yeah.
We can talk about our segments. I don't want to speak for Giant Bomb or for Screen or for Comic Vine.
Do we have segments?
We have segments.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to eat my words.
Yeah. So we can announce that the Big Live Show Live 2 will be the debut of possibly a regular segment.
I think this could be a regular. This is probably a subscriber segment because I don't think anybody else cares. But this is Will and Norm eat their words.
Eating your words with Will Smith and Norman Chan. Yeah. And what we're going to do is take proclamations that we've made.
That we're wrong.
In the podcast that maybe...
Wow, how long is this show going to be?
10,
12 hours.
It'll be multiple segments. And then we're going to print those words on some type of food and make... and we're going to eat those words.
Right.
Oh.
So we're accepting nominations both for dumb things that we've said that turned out to be wrong or that we were wrong about. Like sometimes... some of them could be, like Norm said, I'm not going to buy an iPad 2. He actually didn't do that.
He did stand by that, to his credit.
And that one is to eat those words.
Yeah, he doesn't have to eat that one. But then it could also be something like you know, clearly I have an obvious choice.
I think Will has more words to eat than me.
Yes.
Words like, I can build a really strong structure with toothpicks and marshmallows.
I went for broke, man.
Yeah. And of course, the classic HP is in this for the long haul.
I'm just going to get that put on a t-shirt and then eat the t-shirt, I think, actually. So we've got that stuff coming. We've got a bunch of other stuff. We've got some traditional Will Norm challenges. We've got some As Seen on TV nonsense. And then we've just got some stuff that's silly.
There's a couple of things I'm very excited about, but I don't know if I'm allowed
to. You shouldn't talk about them.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have a really exciting guest.
Yeah, I'm excited to meet your guest. You do have a very interesting guest coming in.
So then
and a couple of challenge type things that I think are very exciting.
Yeah.
The other thing that we have cooking for tomorrow that's awesome is actually a dual cam for the live show. So in addition to the live feed that goes out to everybody, premium members will have access to a second window on their chat page. People who are watching the live stream of the podcast right now are doing a beta test of that for us.
Right.
So there will be a laptop with it, actually this webcam hooked up to it. Jeff or I or whoever has some free time will be driving that around showing premium subscribers, members, the behind the scenes action.
Because the live show goes out to everyone because it's kind of like a subscriber drive, right? You're trying to...
Well, we don't like to think of it
but
it's a way to let people... It's a way to raise awareness.
But everyone... You don't have to be a subscriber to watch it. No, but if you are a subscriber, you get this additional feed.
This is something else. So, you know, tomorrow's the birthday of the Dreamcast. So it's possible there'll be some Dreamcast stuff happening.
Is it really?
Yeah, and the PlayStation
1,
I guess,
999. That's right.
$9.99.
Also Beatles Rock Band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, we should do a Beatles Rock Band marathon tomorrow.
Nah, that's not going to happen.
It's like 12 songs, and then they come and sue you. So should we talk about some tech news? A lot of stuff's happened this week. It's been a big news week.
Is it? It seems like we've had a few in a row. Yeah. Is it getting that way because we're approaching the holiday season?
We're into the holiday release schedule. There's been a couple of trade shows. IFA was last week, which is where Sony announced some crazy shit. And then some stuff that's like real products.
It's where all the Ultrabooks came out. And
Yeah, we talked about them last week a little bit.
And the tablets.
Do we talk about the Sony goggles, though? I don't think they'd announced those yet when we did the podcast.
No, I don't think so either.
So remember those – well, you weren't at – well, you were at CES, but you weren't at the show. We saw this Sony thing that you held
crazy
up 3D, in front of your eyeballs.
Yeah, I remember. There's a picture of Anna wearing those crazy glasses.
Like the Jordan LaForge or also the Cyclops glasses, basically.
Well, yeah, but I mean this thing looked like more like wearing a fridge on your face. I mean, it was huge.
It was massive. Yeah.
That was pretty much it. But I mean, the thing is, it has a couple of OLED screens lined up with your eyeballs, 5.1 sound in the enormous headset. But it was something that was like, it was a tech demo. You held it up in front of your face and you looked at it, you're like, oh man, this is really cool. My head really hurts, and then walk away.
So it's becoming a real product now?
It's a real product. They're going to sell it in Japan for like 11 million yen or $800.
Okay. And you can plug any kind of content into
it?
It
seems like
it'll
be HDMI. Okay. It's 1280 by 720, so 720p resolution.
Right.
Two discrete eyes, which I think is different from the one we saw didn't do 3D, did it?
No.
I think
we did 3D.
I thought the whole point of it was that it was 3D.
The one we put on, 3D.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. I couldn't remember.
I remember cars flying in my face.
Okay. So, yeah, that's coming out later this year, I think, right? I don't know if they gave a date.
I don't think it's going to be later this year. I think that's a product that no one's going to buy.
Well, it's only going to be sold in Japan as of right now. So, you know, There you go.
They also announced a 4K projector, I believe, just today.
Yeah, I heard about
the
that.
The Home
yeah.
Theater projector.
Yeah.
This is like a home installer deal. So it's the kind of thing that if you have a panel in your ceiling that lowers down and the projector comes out of it, mm-hmm. it's for that kind of thing. It's not something you would...
Very high-end home theater enthusiasts.
Yeah. I think the big deal on it is it's bright enough to do a 200-inch... to project to a 200-inch screen.
That's terrific. But I mean, what? There isn't even any 4K content, is there? I mean, what's it going
to
do?
I think when you spend that much money on a projector for your house, you don't want to have to replace it every 2 years.
So this is future-proofing for when we get Green Ray or whatever the next bullshit
bad,
is.
It's a bad along. Idea, though, because there's no there, like the
there's no standard, right?
Yeah, the interface to send that data is, doesn't exist.
Yeah, so this is for right. crazy people with too much money.
Or people who want to have a giant-ass projector. I mean, that's the reason you do it. Even. Yeah, you if you want to have a movie theater
don't
in your backyard,
buy this for your backyard.
Well, like you know when you idea. See these insane
drive-in movie theater.
You know when you see these insane home theater setups, like they're mocked up to look like the Bridge yeah. of the Enterprise or whatever, oh, yeah. and there's like a massive screen.
It's for those people.
My question is for right now, what kind of projector or screen setup do those people have in those huge home theaters?
They have just a normal 1080p
projector,
HDMI
and
projector.
You blow it, and when you blow that up to like a 30-foot screen or whatever,
it doesn't
still
look very good.
It doesn't look good. Okay,
yeah. So I mean, part of the thing is that with the 4K. With the 4K thing, you can do. I'm sure at some point there will be a device that will increase the resolution of the source image, so it'll
upconvert.
So you're upconverting Blu-ray.
Man,
bullshit.
That's cutting edge.
Well, bullshit.
It's one of those things that have you seen? Like, if you've seen a good upconverter that'll upconvert 480p. It doesn't look as good as a native 1080p signal, but it looks better than a 480p.
It's an improvement.
Yeah,
but it's still
because you're seeing more lines and there is some math going on.
Yeah, I mean, with that much data, there's math that they can do to make it look okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of a future product. I'm not super excited about that.
Not me either.
I have always wanted to do a backyard movie theater. I think we should do it as a do a video.
You can't do a backyard movie theater.
Yeah,
you don't have the walls. Do you have the wall space for it?
I would put a post. And hang the screen.
That's not
off
really
the post.
A backyard. When I'm thinking like backyard movie theater, I'm thinking against the side of the building.
On like, on Bachelor Pad this
I used
week,
to have two trees I could have hung the screen between.
Yeah, that would have worked.
Those on Bachelor Pad this week, they had the couple that won the challenge went on a date and they got to watch a movie.
Wait,
and they were
that's
sitting
still
in,
going
was,
on?
Yeah, well, it's almost ended. Don't worry. Your long nightmare is almost yeah. over.
I know. I thought you said that the finale was the
no,
it's, cut
it,
to black.
It's no, that wasn't the finale. That was a mid-season event.
Okay.
But the point I'm making was they went on this date and they were sitting in this luxurious pool.
Yeah.
And they had a big outdoor screen set up that they projected a movie on. It looked like a pretty good setup.
You think you could do a TV show where all of the challenges involve you being in a pool? Like all of the award, the wins? Like you go have a fancy 5-star dinner at a pool. You go to a water park.
Here's the problem
I mean,
with
I don't
the pool
think that,
and the backyard.
I think there's very, very few things that aren't improved by being a pool.
Well, no.
A pool.
That's what you think. You're an aficionado of the pool bar, I know.
The swim-up bar is one of the great yes. ideas of human civilization.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just fantastic.
It's second only to the swim-up blackjack table.
There's a swim-up blackjack
table? Wait, they have that? I don't buy that because yes. the felt wouldn't cards would get wet and stuff.
No, you can
man, that's
swim
a terrible
They seriously have that?
Yep.
How do you bring your wallet?
Bucket list just got one
you
thing longer.
You change it's chips.
So you just have like pockets
chips.
Full of
– You don't have cash
I don't have that many
chips.
Pockets in it's, my swim trunks.
Chips.
So you're just like, was, swimming along with your chips up, like doing the
you got a little tray, floatable tray.
The swim-up bar was wow. a dream that I had for a long time because I don't really go on vacation. I don't go to exotic places.
Your whole life is a vacation, Gary.
Not really. I always wanted to do the swim-up bar. I thought this is never going to happen. And then I had the opportunity to go to Cabo San Lucas and they had a swim-up bar at the resort where I was staying. And I was thinking, oh, if I do it, it's not going to be as good as I've always imagined. But you know what? It was
yeah,
every
it's fantastic.
It's, I mean, it does. It's one of those experiences that does not disappoint.
My
it's like, yes, this is when the guy brings you a nice. Tool, a nice tall frosty drink with an umbrella in
yeah.
it. You sit in beautiful sunshine under this nice straw, you know, hut thing. Sitting there in the bar, and the water's kind of lapping up around your
yep.
your knees there. And you're sitting on this nice little stone plinth stool thing
uh-huh.
at the bar. It's just fantastic.
Now, you know why that works?
You feel like you feel
Did
like
they have the footrest underwater.
I don't remember.
Why
don't
would
recall.
You have a footrest underwater?
Because you got to have some place to put your feet.
No.
Well, bar stools do have footrests.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with
good,
that.
Good bar. Remember how much better our bar got when we put the brass
rail
in?
But when you're in a pool, you just kind of
yeah,
want to like
just
splash your legs around.
Yeah, exactly.
So the first time I saw a swim up bar, it was a surprise swim up bar. Because it was under, there was like a waterfall. It was at this hotel in Maui.
Oh, that's even more
and,
amazing.
And like
surprise.
There was a waterfall coming
like,
over the
surprise.
Side.
Yeah.
And, you know, the pool was like a circle, right? So you ride this water elevator.
Yeah.
That's basically a tube with a float in it. And then they fill water in the tube.
Yeah.
And the whole float goes up and you gotta swim out at the top. And then you ride a bunch of little dinky water slides down. But halfway down, there was this waterfall that just came off. I didn't think anything about it the first two or three times I had done laps. And finally I was there with my wife and she said, oh, hey, let's go to the bar. And I said, there's no bar in this pool. You're crazy. And she said, no, let me show you. And we swam underneath the waterfall and there's a bar.
Oh, that's under, so awesome. It's like a little miniature layer. Shangri-La hidden behind there.
Oh, yeah. And then I paid the lost bar of
Atlantis, the hotel.
Absolutely.
And then I paid probably $14 for a couple of for each daiquiri.
Best $14 guess. You ever spent, though.
I felt like
you're
a kid.
On vacation.
Yeah, exactly. So
my other favorite thing to do that is kind of aquatic is when you go to like a water park is I love the lazy river.
Oh, yeah.
You ever do that where they just put you in like a – you just sit in a big inner tube.
Donut
and there's like a gentle current that just takes you on a nice little circuit.
You should go to a water park.
And you go under – oh, I totally want to.
Like, take cameras. Have an outing at a water park.
I don't think you take cameras in the water park.
We have a couple of great ones here. Raging Waters down in San Jose is very good.
I always feel like those are very urine-y.
I actually went to the one in San Dimas.
The one made famous
from Bill and Ted. Yeah, it's not actually called Waterloo. But
I think it's called the Water Loop, wasn't it?
Waterloo is because the whole joke is they take Napoleon there.
But I think – okay, yes. I got the joke, but – I think it was just something that sounded like water.
Anyway, that park, which I think actually is a Raging Waters, we got to go to that park, and it was fantastic.
I love water
water slides and all that kind of stuff. It's just so much fun.
They didn't have that in England, or they didn't.
We have, but it's all enclosed. We don't have the climate for it, so they build them inside these big glass domes.
That doesn't sound any fun.
No, the ones inside the malls are awesome.
You've been to the one like in the
Edmonton Mall in Canada. It's a giant mall, and there's a giant water park inside also.
So speaking of 3D stuff, Ray Sonora over the guy who made DisplayMate. DisplayMate is pretty much the gold standard for benchmarking and testing monitors, right?
Is it? Okay. You know, when it works for Windows 7 and stuff.
Yeah, it's for computer monitors traditionally, and he's branched out into tablets and stuff like that. But he did some tests of 3D TVs over the last couple of weeks.
All right.
And his results were really interesting because, we've been talking about 3D TVs for a long time. And one of the things that was a knock against the passive glass 3D TVs was that, you get half the resolution in each eye. So I read this. It was an enormous report.
When you say passive glass, you mean like the one we saw at PAX?
Yeah.
The LG one?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So the idea is that even lines are left eye and odd lines are right eye on those passive glass TVs.
Okay.
So you only have half the resolution in each eye. One of the things that he had talked about and actually figured out a way to test, which was new, is that what happens in theory is because the only difference between the left eye image and the right eye image is that the parallax, which is the separation between the left eye and the right eye, that slight difference in angle and viewing angle.
That's what gives you the depth.
That's what gives you the depth. But everything else is the same. So your brain magically combines left eye image, right eye image. So you do get an effective resolution that's the same as
The point is it's not the same, and that's why you get the effective resolution. So it's not the same image.
It's slightly. It's only a little bit different in a horizontal resolution type situation.
Yes,
in a horizontal angle, and that your brain fills in the gap and combines it into one 1080p image. But this is the interesting thing: only when you're far enough away that you can't make out the individual pixels on the screen. So if you're looking at a 50-inch TV, if I think he did a 46-inch TV when he was 3, 4, 5, 6 feet out, he could see two separate sets of images, right? He wasn't getting the combined effect. When he pulled back further, he was able to get it. And he did this he tested this in a really interesting way by looking at really fine detail text on one of those IMAX Blu-rays, the space station one. Yeah. So, if you think about the inside of the space station, every drawer has little tiny text all over it that says, don't step here and feet go here and explosive bolts and all that stuff. When he was able to pause it, and by backing out, he could tell when the convergence happened in his brain.
Oh, I see.
Because he would suddenly be able to read the text.
Right.
He also tested a bunch of active shutter glasses, like the ones that we have on our TVs.
Yeah.
And found them universally pretty shit, which I would agree with after using the active shutter glasses for a while.
Yeah, they're not great. Like I've said it a million times, but that technology was not and is not ready for mass consumer adoption.
Right.
It's just not good enough.
So there were a few takeaways from that part of the test too that I thought were good. When I watch stuff with the active shutter glasses right now, what I do is turn off all the lights in the house, like bedroom,
kitchen. Oh, yeah, you can't have any light.
No lights anywhere. That's actually really bad for eye strain because then you have a really bright screen and a really dark everything else. So the contrast gives you headache issues.
That's why those Panasonic glasses, the first ones, they had to redo.
They're so bad.
And why glasses now, the 3D glasses you wear, almost look like these kind of wraparound, like old people glasses, you know, like sunglasses that completely, they have to block out. You can't have any light leaking in.
Well, he actually tested those super light Samsung glasses that we tried out at CES and didn't like those either for exactly the reason you just said.
Right. Because they're too thin. The frames are too thin.
They don't block enough of the light. So the interesting thing, the other interesting thing about that is he said backlighting the TV will actually significantly help with that eye strain.
You mean like actually having a light source behind the TV?
Behind the TV that like shoots into the back of the set and then reflects out of there onto the wall behind you, gives you a gentle gradient.
Almost like the Ambilight Philips stuff that they have.
Antec sells something too. Without actually drawing attention to like where the screen is versus where the depth of the image in the screen is. The other thing was 60 hertz lighting is really bad when you're on when you're watching with active shutter glasses because they're operating at 240 hertz or 120 hertz depending on your TV.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have the active shutter glasses cycling at the same time as the light sources in your room, particularly CFLs, it's really gnarly.
So
if you have CFLs in your room and that makes your –
But again, just all the more reason to turn all the lights off.
Except for the eye strain thing. Yeah, the contrast eye strain thing.
Right.
It was a really interesting article. We have a kind of summary on the site. I can't remember. I think Wes went through or Matt.
Yep. Matt Wes did and picked out the three most important things.
Yeah.
It just – this whole 3D thing, trying to get to a point where you can enjoy 3D, it just really feels like pushing a boulder uphill, doesn't it?
Well, this is – yeah. It's speaking of boulders that go uphill – you had said you had seen mentioned that maybe ESPN was killing ESPN 3D.
I saw a story briefly this week and I didn't have time to fact check it, but there was a story that ESPN, which has pretty much the only real flagship 3D channel that's widely available right now, ESPN 3D, if you have a cable subscription that includes the 3D component, it's probably there somewhere on your dial.
Yeah.
And I guess they figured this was a good way to try and get people to adopt 3D because sports is actually a good showcase.
I would like to watch football in 3D.
It's actually a pretty good showcase for 3D. It looks pretty good. Obviously, lots of people like sports.
Yeah.
So, you know, like in the UK, Sky Broadcast has broadcast major soccer tournaments in 3D.
I watched some X Games in 3D, although that was a disaster.
Yeah, I watched some NBA basketball, and it looked pretty cool. Again, the problem is still that there's depth, but it's flat depth. Again, the players just kind of feel like these diorama cutouts.
Well, for sports, it kind of works because you have players who are like in different planes. And when you're watching like some like football, soccer, the angle which the field is, it kind of works. It's almost like a video game.
Well, I want to check this out because I guess it's kind of a related issue. You know that awful, awful motion flow effect they have on TVs that make everything look like a soap opera?
Yeah, yeah. I hate that.
They interpolate the missing frames, but it becomes so smooth it looks horrible and fake.
Yeah, it looks like it's shot at 24.
The first thing you do when you bring your TV home is turn that mode off, right?
It looks terrible. 60.
If I remember the first time I saw it in a Best Buy, and they were running this demo reel from Peter Jackson's King Kong, which
didn't look like
the
movie.
Incredibly expensive film, and yet they made it look like it's so cheap and awful.
For CG, it makes the CG look that much more like CG.
Yes.
But for live action and for drama scenes, it makes it look not like a movie. So
It makes it look like a daytime soap. Yeah.
And why is Matt Damon in this whole movie?
But the point I'm making is apparently for sports, it does. It's actually good for sports. I'm going to – NFL starts tonight, right? So I'm going to turn it on and see how sports look for that. It might be an appropriate thing. But 3D is supposed to be good for sports. So to get back to the point of it, there's a story going around that ESPN is considering canning the 3D channel.
Well,
because the adoption just isn't there. It's expensive. There's this whole question of whether or not 3D is going to die before it ever really gets out of the gate.
At any given time, how many people are watching that 3D channel? Probably like a few dozen.
I imagine probably more than that, but I mean it's probably very trivial.
Into the tens of thousands, I would
think. Oh no, I'd be surprised if it's even in the thousands. You gotta remember, cable TV audiences are so bifurcated. I mean, like it's astonishing when you look at say the audiences for cable news. You know, everyone knows Anderson Cooper and Bill O'Reilly and these guys. Right. You know, Anderson Cooper on a good night, I'm sure someone will correct me, gets maybe 200,000 viewers. Right. I mean, it's a tiny, tiny number.
When you're talking about network television, if anything drops below 10 million, canceled.
Right.
You need $14 million.
Million. Really 14 million?
Well, if you're talking about a big show, for example,
like
Lost.
CSI.
CSI, I think it does way more than that, actually.
Okay.
CSI, I think it does at least 15 million every week.
That's a top show on TV. I'm like 30, exactly. Where's 30 Rock? 4 or 5 million?
I think it's hovering around.
It's pretty small. But the point is, once you get down to cable, you got to look at like HD TV adoption is now actually pretty good, yeah. Right? Like I think the majority of households in America now have an HD TV because yes. You can't buy anything else anymore. That's just HD TV is
five
just,
million for
HD TV is just TV now. But 3D, I don't know what the adoption is, but we know it's pretty pitiful. And again, even the people, there's three of us. I mean, here's like a little micro sampling, right? There's three of us here that all own 3D TVs. How many of us actually consume 3D content? The last time I took the 3D glasses out and used them was at Christmas.
For Christmas Carol.
Yeah. We had a Christmas Carol in 3D, which was shitty.
We watched, those Zemeckis movies I don't like at all, generally.
And the 3D effect was shitty.
Yeah. The thing, I would like to watch, I think they're broadcasting NCAA football on ESPN 3D. I will probably try that out at some point.
Sports, I think, could be the savior.
But it's because it's on during the day, I'm not going to be able to watch it when it's live because my living room isn't dark enough and the lighting's not right and all that.
That too, right? Most sports are on during the day.
It's a nighttime,
there's the Super Bowl, right? If you're on the West Coast, that's going to be on during the day.
That's true.
The problem with a lot of the sports stuff is the crowd shots ruins it.
Oh, it does it? How's that?
Because when you have like old video games,
No. When you have like
just like circle sprites,
kind of. Because when you have the cameras on the field and you see the crowd in the front foreground and the background, it is this weird framing effect around the image of the game.
Oh yeah,
and
it looks like you're playing in a diorama,
and I hate that.
I'm gonna find ESPN 3D when I get home, and
it's channel later. 943.
Yeah, it's way
like
way down deep
it's
in the
past the pornography. And
it's
radio
way
stations.
Out there in the boonies.
Yeah. So, I mean, 3D, it continues to be not awesome. I think
there is a time in the future when 3D will eventually become mainstream when they finally figure out a way to attack the technology that really works and isn't prohibitively expensive.
I mean, I'm optimistic about passive glasses. After reading what Ray said. Ray is a display expert. He is a dude that knows his shit about everything from old ancient CRTs all the way up to smartphones and modern HDTVs. If he's convinced on the passive glasses, that's a big vote of confidence in passive.
That's definitely a step forward, but we have to get the glasses out of the equation altogether, don't we?
I think the clip-on ones are okay.
Well, they did have I think it was Toshiba had that TV last at LFA. Where it was no 3D or no glasses 3D or IFA, glasses 3D.
So this is like that monitor that we saw at CES this year too,
where you got to stand in the five spots.
That's a different one. So this one has lenses that aim. So it's a 4K resolution TV. It's about $8,000.
Well, we saw one at
€8,000,
and then we saw one also at Toshiba.
The Toshiba one was the one that we saw first, and then remember after we looked at the TV, we walked off to that other side spot where they had the laptop with the webcam that was aiming at you, and it found your eyes.
Yep.
And it moved the what was it called? It's the thing that used to come on cereal boxes, the tilty thing.
The parallax?
No.
Lenticular.
Lenticular. They had a lenticular lens on top of that screen that adjusted based on what your position was in the room. So it would detect where your eyes were and aimed the lens on the TV to give optimal viewing based on where your head is, which is what you're talking about. Glasses free,
right.
3D that's actually pretty good.
Right.
I think we're still way.
We are. I think we're still.
€7,500 is a lot of money. I mean, that is not an inconsequential amount of cheddar, and it only had 9 viewing positions, so you couldn't watch 3D at the Super Bowl if you have more than
move
nine
around
friends.
The room.
Yeah,
I'm sick of talking about 3D.
Well, it's good because that was the last 3D thing I had on the list.
Good.
Did you notice how perfect those segues were from 3D thing to 3D thing? Now I'm going to ruin it for the rest of the show.
Yeah, again for the millionth time, they were great until you drew attention to them.
Yeah. So iPhone, there's iPhone rumors.
Yes, we're getting close enough now where the rumors are starting to become more compelling, right? Because we're so close now to what must be the launch, like maybe a month away.
So
that we know that shit has to be happening, right? So stuff that we're hearing about may have some foundation.
Did we talk about the stolen prototype where the people
briefly,
who may or may not have been cops came to the guy's
last week.
Door?
I think they were cops, but they weren't
official.
They were just helping out.
It's the whole thing has gotten super shady because at first the San Francisco PD. Said, hey, this wasn't us. We didn't actually go to anybody's house to look for iPhone.
It's not shady. It's just miscommunication. I don't think there's a real story there.
I don't know.
Do you think Apple in the future is going to be like IOI in Ready Player One, where they can come to your house and just arrest you for not paying your bills? And
what did you call IOI?
Yeah, it was called IOI, right?
The Innovative Corporation?
Innovative Online, whatever. The name of the evil corporation in that book.
Yeah, that's not how I read it in my head. I can't remember how I read
how did
it.
You read, how else would you read IOI?
I don't know. I thought it was something else.
Okay.
Or alternately, I just didn't pay enough attention to the name of the evil corporation. Reading closely helps. I really enjoyed that book, but 3 weeks later, I don't remember anything at all about it, except for the first fight was Joust.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the second fight?
I don't remember either. Oh, it was Black Tiger, Black Knight, something like one of the old Capcom games.
Oh, that's right.
And then the final. Oh, I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't read the book. But the point is, there's an evil ISP in that book in this near future setup where this technology company has become so powerful.
I might have just substituted Comcast in my head.
You may
every
have.
Time I read.
You
IOI.
May have. But you know, there's a scene in that book where the guy, you know, because the guy hasn't paid his cable bill. They can come to your house, blowtorch their way through your door, arrest you, and force you into indentured servitude to work for their company for a period of time until you pay off your bills.
And the period of time was forever.
Yeah, because the way that they calculated the bill, you could never get out of the hole. But you know, Apple's knocking on people's doors. It's like we're almost at that point.
It's kind of Demolition Man-y I don't know.
That's a movie I really have no recollection of.
Yeah, I just remember everything was Taco Bell.
Apart from the fact that Taco Bell owned everything. Yeah.
And they had sex wearing those weird helmet things, basically the Sony glasses.
But I don't care about people knocking on one guy's door. The more compelling rumor is now that we're hearing, and this of course has to be true, I guess, because there is a certain.
Well, it doesn't have to be true.
I think it's true.
Probably true.
The iPhone 5 at this point now is already in actual production, fabrication, and they're building 150,000 units a day. And they're saying that even that will probably be not enough to meet demand.
Well,
that's pretty crazy.
Global
they
market.
Always say that. They always say
we're talking about a global market and now multiple carriers. So the consumer base for them is much larger. If Verizon are going to be getting it on day one as well, that's a huge.
So based on the Sprint the users iPhone also 5, maybe the purported cases that was leaked.
Of course, there are
design. Yeah. It's going to be wider, bigger.
How
screen.
Do these cases? Are these case manufacturers just making their best guess and hope? Because Apple's not sharing information.
Apple is sharing information.
Oh, they are.
They are.
Okay, I guess it's in Apple's interest to have plenty of peripherals available.
Remember, there was a whole scandal. There was an Apple employee who was caught leaking information ahead of time to case manufacturers or selling information so they could get a step up.
I would assume it's to most favored case manufacturers.
You know, like the Belkins and Griffins in this world.
Yeah, the guys who are in the Apple store.
But Apple's also probably got, the same way as last year, probably has its own bumpers or whatever, its own.
Well, I wouldn't expect I would expect the separation between first party cases and third party cases.
Maybe they'll have smart covers for iPhone. That'd be cool.
I don't know if I want that for my iPhone.
I mean, not exactly that, but maybe they've got some other innovative
thing. Foldy. Yeah,
The other thing that was interesting was this picture leaked out.
Yeah,
right?
The photo.
Yeah.
I don't even know where it came. Did it show up? It had different XF data that said it was an iPhone 4 picture, but then had different XF data than iPhone 4 images.
Yes, it had different XF data, even though the resolution was still, I think, 5.12 megapixels.
So what
was actually rescaled?
This was a picture that just showed up on Flickr, right?
It wasn't. I don't think it was on Flickr.
My question is what? Because it seems like the internet detectors are really kind of honed in on this one. My question is How did they do this?
There are a lot of sites that scrape EXIF data from Flickr obviously just makes it part of the service, right? So you can go and see how many people are posting pictures on this one picture
that made it? How did they identify this one picture as somehow different?
Okay. It was on an Apple engineer's Flickr account.
Okay.
Before being marked as private.
And it was just a picture of a plate of sushi, right?
Yes, it was. A gorgeous
So the picture
is
a very beautiful picture. The food looked good. The picture was great quality.
Mm-hmm. I like sushi.
But it was an innocent enough picture. So what was it that gave this thing away as potentially from an iPhone 5?
What kind of sushi was it?
It looked like nigiri.
There was some uni in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, an adventurous sushi eater.
Oh, dude. Or uni.
I'm very unadventurous when it comes to sushi.
Really?
I like my Maguro.
What's Maguro?
Maguro is...
yellow tuna. Yellow
no,
tuna.
No, no, no. Maguro is either tuna or salmon. I can't remember which.
No. Maguro is, I like my, is the white tuna, yeah, not the
fatty
tuna.
No.
No, that's Tori.
Toro's
the best.
I like my sake, which is either...
That's tuna
sake,
or tuna. That's salmon.
No, sake is...
God, we don't know any Japanese.
Saba is mackerel. I love Saba. Sake is salmon.
Look this up right now, because this is going to annoy me. I'm pretty sure Maguro is either salmon...
M-A-G-U-R-O. It's a different cut
it
or different type
of tuna.
It is sushi
quality tuna.
Thank you very much. So I ordered the Maguro.
So is it the red tuna?
Whoa. Yes. And okay. It has really bad Urban Dictionary definitions.
Let's not get into that.
Repeat it loud.
I order the Maguro nigiri.
I think hamachi is what you and I are thinking about.
I order the sake because I like tuna and salmon. I will get the toro if it's there because
toro
that's
the
top,
best.
Top quality.
Oh,
but it's not always
toro.
On, right? It's not always on the menu.
Yeah. If it's not good, then you don't want
and
it. And
I like my California rolls and my spicy tuna rolls.
Do you not eat?
That's very boring. No, I don't like any of the adventurous stuff.
We should it's go not adventurous at all.
You know, this is adventurous for me. You know, up until 5 years ago, I never like. I was one of those guys. You know, raw fish. But now I love it.
We
I just go
have
eat the
sushi
things
with,
I like.
With Gary,
there is a great. It's actually a decent, like, relatively good sushi place right by the ballpark. It's called Nama.
Is there nothing?
Well, that place is good.
Nothing around here.
It's
that's
like,
any
they
good?
Have a really good new not entree. Really. $18, you get I think like 12 pieces of. Well,
that's a value buy sushi.
My favorite tuna place. My favorite tuna place in the city. Which I won't give away because I don't want it to become like a hotspot. I like having it to myself.
I can recommend.
They have an incredible volcano roll, which is one of the best things
volcano
I've ever eaten.
Volcano roll. No.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Sushi Bistro in Mission.
It's not worth waiting for.
No, you don't have to wait.
Well, usually every time I've gone,
there's a Sushi Bistro in the Mission, also one in Clement.
Okay.
Go to the one in the Mission. It's awesome. And there's a place on Clement also called, oh God, I forget its name. That's embarrassing.
Good
oh.
talk.
I do love the whole sushi experience where you go sit at the bar and they just keep bringing you things.
Yeah, you always want like if
that's
you find
brilliant
a good
until
place.
You get the check and you realize just how much you
well,
actually ordered.
Get the chef's preference. Yes.
Yeah, here's the thing: is at a good sushi bar, they won't fuck you on that. Like you go in, like the place that I took Braga when he was here, Goman, which is one of my favorites. It's good because the guy is awesome. Like the guy who owns the place makes the sushi and he sits there and he'll drink with you while you're ordering and he brings out a whole bunch of random shit. Some of it's good. Some
speaking
not
of
so
you
much.
Taking the Braga to stuff,
yeah.
You know he called on the big red phone.
Really?
Yeah, and
week.
You didn't know it was him apparently.
Well, I didn't
he
know it was
he
him.
Punked you.
He kind of punked me. We the big red phone distorts voices because we're using
this is another
Magic
member benefit, a premium subscriber benefit.
I'm very impressed that you guys actually pick up the phone and
oh yeah,
I don't have if this novelty is going to wear
back
off. But
from the gym and Will is on the phone at like 8 p.m. at night talking to someone.
Yeah.
waiting for MakerBot, and then when Will left, I talked to people till like 9:30.
So
wait,
the big red phone.
Before that, Braga said you took him to a ramen place.
I took him to Ken.
And was like, why was I invited to
you
also
did,
get
it
ramen?
It was the Thursday night and you had a date or wanted to see a girl or something.
Why didn't I get invited to go to ramen?
You're welcome to come to ramen. I'll go to ramen with you anytime, dude. It's Thursday night. It's awesome. You should come too, Gary. It is a fantastic ramen place.
I want to go get all this sushi
pop-up,
talk is making me
know
what
that
sushi.
Was.
Really? You don't know what a pop-up sushi. Is? I know what something is that you don't.
A pop-up. Well, as Matt explained to me, it's a restaurant in a box. It's a transformer.
Yeah. So like another restaurant closes for the night. And somebody else comes into that space and uses their restaurant
just for the
space.
Night.
For well, I mean, the Ken Ken guy is always in the same place on like Thursdays and Sundays.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of like a food truck, but without the truck.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should we talk about technology some more?
So they took this picture of sushi.
Wait. Big red phone.
We've got to segue back to the level. We can't just teleport back.
No. Right? You got to go.
This is like Inception. Oh, you got to kick back up through all the levels.
Exactly.
Okay. So right now we're very deep down in the big red phone level.
So it was,
okay, do we have to synchronize this? Stop playing some Edith Piaf. So we can start kicking back up.
We're done talking about the pop-up restaurant.
Right,
big red phone, subscriber benefit. We'll answer the phone. We talked about
this. This is Jeff's idea. Just to be
Jeff's
clear.
Idea.
Jeff
we'll
said
put
a
in
year
action.
Ago.
It is a great idea.
Jeff said a year ago, you know what would be awesome? So we had a phone that that members could call and just talk to us. And we were like, "That I don't know how we would do that." And then we figured out how to do it.
You know, what's interesting? It's almost like a throwback to the old days. Somebody said, I was talking to someone the other day. I can't remember what it was, but it was another one, another kind of old school gaming journalist who said, you know, this is just like, you know, when readers used to find our number and call us all the time,
yeah,
and we would talk to them.
At Future, people would just come by the office. We had our phone numbers in the mastheads when I first started.
Yeah, they would just call up.
And then long distance calls got cheap, and that was a bad idea, it turned out.
Yeah. But I think it's great, you know, you talk
like
to these guys and have real conversations. And
yeah, it's just fun to get to know people.
Mm-hmm.
So, Norm?
So now we're back up
sushi.
To actually
now we're
talk.
Kicking back up.
So
all
sushi right. restaurants. Shimo's is the name of the place in Clement. I remember the name now.
You just looked it up on the internet.
Nope, I didn't actually remember. It's the original Shimo's. Excellent sushi, Sushi Bistro. And also, we recommend if you go to a good Japanese place, sometimes they don't have it on the menu, get the tempura ice cream.
Oh, I love tempura ice cream.
Yeah.
Best.
Sometimes
it's
not on the
best.
Menu. The place I'm talking about, Nama by Ballpark, it's not there. Just ask for it.
$5.
Yeah, amazing. The place where I go has a tempura ice cream that's also that's served in kind of like a they drizzle like a strawberry cherry type Ooh. Sauce over it. Oh, it's just fantastic.
I had salt fried prawns for the first time a few weeks ago.
Oh, that sounds good.
So yeah, but it's the whole thing, and you eat the head and everything.
Oh
it's,
no, I don't like that.
It was fine. You just don't think about it.
What's your go to when you go to a sushi place? If it's unfamiliar and you just want to get what you know you like, what do you usually get?
If it's someplace that it looks like it's good to get fish, I just get straight sashimi.
Sashimi?
My favorites are – I love mackerel. I love ika, which is I think squid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down with the uni, but it's only if – like you got to be careful where you get that because sometimes if it's bad, it's super gross and can put you off of it for a while.
Yeah.
But I mean I like tuna – Salmon, when salmon is good, is glorious.
I'm not adventurous, but I know what I like, and there's four or five things that I can always get, and I usually get those things, and I usually enjoy them.
I had octopus taco. Taco's octopus?
No, yeah, I don't like the sound of that.
I like a soft-shelled crab, like entire.
Oh, I love
whole.
A soft-shelled crab.
Oh, Leah loves soft-shelled crab. That's her favorite crab. Thing. She likes to get soft-shelled crab.
Get cut in half and share.
Yeah.
It's very high in cholesterol, but it's delicious.
Why isn't that spider roll, right?
But spider roll is soft-shelled crab in a... Just the legs in a roll. Right. I like the entire soft-shelled crab.
Oh, you'll eat the whole thing. The whole okay.
Well, we used to, like, on the East Coast in Maryland, we would go and there are places you just get a soft-shelled crab sandwich. Like, they have a hamburger bun with some tartar sauce and pieces of lettuce.
I gotta try it because I love crab. I love seafood, but I can't get by in the same way that years ago the idea of raw fish was just repellent to me, and now I love it.
Yeah.
The whole idea of just eating the whole thing, shell and all, is just...
There's no shell. Like, if they do it right, there's nothing there. It's just Wait, it's
no soft-shelled crab the shell you can eat
yeah
the
you
crab,
eat the shell
the crab no well the crab is molted the hard shell because when they grow then they have to they outgrow their shells and they just shit themselves out of the old shell.
Oh, you're making it sound really appetizing.
Well,
now
yeah it's nothing gross and then they over a period of several weeks and the new shell hardens the new skin hardens into shell as they pick up calcium and stuff from the water but for several days after they molt they're perfectly normal to eat. There's no hard parts or anything. It's really good. It's delicious.
Yeah, I gotta find a good place and try it because it does sound good.
Well, the trick I found with anything that's like questionable or seems like it could be gross, because I used to be a little squeamish about raw fish and stuff like that.
Yeah,
is to go someplace where it's awesome. Like, make sure the first time you have it is someplace that's awesome.
Right.
You don't have a first bad experience.
Have you ever had escargot?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Do you like it?
Yeah, totally. Down.
That's one of those things I've got a mental block on.
It's you
gotta
just garlic have it and butter,
with,
dude.
Yeah, you gotta have it with
and
a lot
snails.
Of, well, a lot of garlic, a lot of butter.
Yeah,
like a pesto or just something like a heavy sauce.
I got no beef with the snails. They're delicious.
What about frog's legs?
I can't do
totally
frog's
legs.
Cannot do frog's legs.
Have you had frog's legs?
Yeah, frog's legs, alligator, all the Cajun stuff is super good.
I'm making the bad coffee face.
I don't think I'd go as far as Anthony Bourdain and eat the boar anus.
See, that's too much.
But I've eaten bull testicles and...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'll do cow's tail.
They fry them.
Oxtail?
Oxtail's fine.
Oxtail's delicious. Yeah. But
pig's feet? I've not eaten chicken feet.
Can't do chicken feet either.
But I like to eat the heads of shrimp and stuff like that. Suck the shit out of the
lobster. No. It's
use the whole animal, dude.
Okay, let's
kick. So let's kick back up.
iPhone 5, possible camera, 8 megapixels. They say it might be a Sony lens. They say the aperture is 2.4 as opposed to 2.8 in iPhone 4, but because it's slightly slower. Sensor. They need the better aperture.
So the rumor was for a long time that one of the things that was going to be better on the iPhone 5 was a better camera, 8 megapixel camera, better sensor.
I'm really pleased with the iPhone 4 camera. Just
it's great, but I mean it's always better to have an even better one.
No doubt.
Right? And this sushi picture that was posted looked gorgeous.
I mean, it looked like a great
quality picture. You should post it in the.
In the comments?
In the thread for the
podcast. It's obviously not the full picture, but I mean, it's well lit. So
it is a nice one.
It looks like a test shot.
It looks really nice.
Right? It looks like what some engineer would use to test the camera.
Yeah.
And again, exactly. Like I said, some people have been going crazy doing the CSI enhance method and going in and apparently finding like the reflection of the phone in the plate.
That's
crazy. I mean, it's just crazy.
So let's see. We've gone all over the place on my list today. Windows 8, they announced it as part of the Windows blogs. It's going to include support for Hyper-V. Hyper-V, it's something that normal people don't use very much. It's one of those things. So last week we were talking about ISO support in Windows 8. I said it's something only pirates use. Clearly, people in enterprise environments are going to use the shit out of ISO support when they're installing Office and things like that on people's computers. That aside, Hyper-V is another one of those things that's traditionally used in enterprise. It's basically like low-level virtualization. And Hyper-V will let you run, I think they said, 4 instances of different of Windows or applications that run inside Hyper-V instances. on a 4 gig memory machine, something real small, 64-bit processor. And that's going to be integrated in Windows 8. I don't know that we care about that as normal users. But it does bring up the thing, you know, years ago when Vista was, I think even before Vista was out, I think it was Ray Ozzie at Microsoft who replaced Bill Gates as the CTO or Chief Innovation Officer or something like that, had started talking about, and I could be completely wrong on who it was that said this, started talking about virtualized Windows, where instead of Windows running and then there being a bunch of programs inside Windows, each program and each thing that you did inside Windows would be running in a separate virtual machine that could then talk to each other. Yeah, so basically everything would be sandboxed. Everything would be instanced, so you could run – you could spin up multiple instances of your browser. Instead of launching multiple windows, you just have a new instance. So if one crashed, then it was no big deal. I think we moved kind of beyond that. But this Hyper-V support coming into Windows 8 could be a precursor to that being a more real thing in future versions of Windows.
Gary has this like really blank stare.
I
mean,
Gary looks real bored. I couldn't be less interested. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
Norm, are you interested in this at all? I'm kind of interested, but the point is that you're going to build 8, the event build next week.
I am.
So we'll possibly come back with a Windows tablet.
Excited to see Windows. I think Windows 8 overall is exciting. This particular aspect of it is not very sexy. Right. That we're talking about
both
right now.
Both of those things you said are true.
Build 8 is the event that they're going to basically show all the Windows 8 features to developers, right, as many as they can.
This is when they get right – it's their WWDC or Google I.O. Exactly. Or that type of event. There's also going to be some phone stuff, yes. I understand.
Since we're talking about PCs, did I tell you that I successfully upgraded my PC this week?
Hey, fist bump.
Well, after some technical problems.
You. Oh,
right?
There you go. What's that?
You had some technical problems.
Well, you know, so that PC that we built – yes. Actually, a year ago.
Yeah.
It was about a year ago.
Just a year ago.
That you and Lloyd helped me build. Great PC. And a year later, you know, it's nice to know that it's still – I did a little health check on it recently. And, the processor –
When you say you did a health check, what do you mean?
Basically, I looked at all the components, okay, and asked myself and asked others, is this still – you know, has this system kept up with the times?
Yeah.
Is it still good for gaming, you know, through the holidays?
Yeah.
And, you know, some people online looked at it and said, yeah, it's great. It's still a great graphics card.
It's like a GTX 470 or something, right?
No, it's the AMD 5870.
5870, yeah.
Which is a great card. Yeah. The Core i5, 2.8 gigahertz, yeah. Perfectly decent processor. The only point where I kind of felt like it was a little bit weak was we only ever put 4 gigs of RAM in there.
Right.
And if you recall, RAM was the problem that I had with it. Right after we first built it, it was being very strange with its performance. We eventually discovered we had a bad stick of RAM.
Yeah.
And so I've been running with a couple of just random sticks
loaders
that you gave me.
Yeah.
And so it seemed like my motherboard was being a bit funny about RAM. And so I wanted to upgrade to 8 gigs because that kind of felt like that. If there was going to be a performance bottleneck, it would be on the RAM side.
But it did have 4 and not 2, right?
It had 4. Okay. Well, it had 2, but only 2 was being used because one of the sticks wasn't seated properly.
Ah,
so I've actually been running on 2 gigs of RAM for a while.
That's the weirdest thing because when you went into Windows, it said
4 gigs, 2 gigs usable. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And I tweeted about it, and everyone said, oh, you've got 32-bit operating system. No, I have 64-bit operating system. So it looked like one wasn't – I seated it correctly, and then it showed up was all 4 gigs were usable. And then I still decided I wanted 8. So I went and used the little tool that you showed me that shows you all the different kinds of RAM that are compatible with the motherboard you put in there.
Yeah.
Ordered some RAM. $50 for 8 gigs of Corsair DDR3 RAM.
So ridiculous.
Very cheap now.
I didn't realize it was that cheap.
It's really getting cheap.
12 gigabytes, here I come.
So I bought the two sticks. And like I said, my PC has always been very, very crotchety about any RAM that I try to put in there that isn't those two sticks that you gave me.
And you followed the upgrade procedure I gave you, the powered off, unplug the cord, push the power button, take the old sticks out, put the new sticks in. You're looking at me like you maybe didn't do
I actually
this.
Did not do any of that.
Okay.
I actually did it while I was playing Team Fortress. I swapped it on the fly. No, not really.
It's making Will super sad.
Wouldn't that be amazing? It'd be like changing a tire without stopping the car.
Ooh,
can you imagine if you could do that?
That would be a great test.
That would be very difficult. You could do that.
No, there's actually a video where
I've seen
that.
A video do
yeah.
that. Yeah,
yeah. They tilt the car.
Dudes.
Really?
The car gets tilted up, and
that's
then they change
crazy.
The tire. and then it pops back down.
So I turned it. I shot, obviously shut it down, but I didn't pull the power cord or anything. So I pulled, pops the old RAM out.
Just,
oh, by the way,
just to be clear, it's always a good idea to put to do the power cord and then hit the power button on the front so you discharge any electricity from the machine.
That's a great tip. I didn't know that, but that's a good tip.
I just for the people out in the outside this room.
So I can return the loaner RAM you gave me a year ago. So I got these two sticks. We're very, RAM, even RAM looks sexy these days. They put these kind of crazy luminescent.
You bought expensive RAM.
What?
You bought expensive
RAM. No, it wasn't expensive
RAM. 8 gigs for $50?
Well, you bought performance RAM.
I want good RAM. And $50 is not a lot of money for good RAM.
No, I don't think you overspent.
Anyway, these Corsair sticks that I bought look like fucking Romulan warbirds or something. I mean, they're just these insane heat sinks.
The heat sink design is gone. It's too much.
It's fun. It's all part of, like, people, like to pimp out their PCs, right? So every component, even the RAM, has to look kind of sexy.
I used to have the Corsair sticks with the LED strips.
Those were awesome.
And wow. They went up and down based on how much RAM was being used.
Oh, like Kit?
One step above those was the ones that you could program to say shit. So you could put like the memory usage on there, and it would be like current memory usage, 4%.
Fucking madness. I love it. Anyway, so I put the sticks in. I was very nervous because I didn't know if it was going to like the new RAM. Boot it up. 8 gig usable. Lovely. Perfect. No problems yet. So for whatever games, I'm now future-proofed, I think, through whatever games come out this holiday season.
Beautiful.
Upgrade my RAM.
I'm looking forward to play. I've got Dead Island, Space Marine.
Yeah,
what else
are
coming out on PC that I'm excited about?
Fortress 2.
Battlefield 3.
Oh yeah,
of course, coming 3. This way.
Skyrim.
Driver San Francisco. I'm excited to play.
Is that on PC?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on Steam as well.
Okay.
There's a bunch of games I'm excited. Old Republic. Eventually, I'm excited
when that
for comes
out.
So I've
noticed. What about Deus Ex? Modern Warfare?
Have you played Deus Ex?
I just I'm still in the tutorial mode. I haven't had time to really get into it yet.
So I will tell you, I've talked a lot of shit about the first hour of that game on Twitter because I fall asleep every time I played it. I sat down Saturday morning and just played like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Once I got through the tutorial and the first mission, the game gets
pretty
awesome.
Yeah, it seems like a common theme. A lot of people complain about the first hour or so and then it really picks up.
Yeah, it opens up.
But so how long – my current setup, my PC setup, how much longer do you think that's going to be good before I need to make a bigger change, a GPU change or something?
This is one of those things that people always ask, right? And they say, hey, should I buy a $500 video card or should I buy – what should I get a bigger CPU? What should I do?
Right.
And the thing I say is always like just reserve $400 or $500 of what you're going to spend to upgrade and get a second video card 2 years into the life of that machine.
The GPU is always the critical factor, right?
If the thing is with that video card, you're probably in reality good for as long as the Xbox 360 lasts. If you're just playing like until either some sort of crazy high end PC exclusive comes out that's gonna actually push hardware,
right?
Which could be Battlefield 3, in fairness, right. Or the consoles, the new generation of consoles comes out, you're probably okay. Like
That's the question. At any given time, what is the lifespan? So like I put this 5870 in a year ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was a fairly new card at the time.
2 years easy.
1 year. So I'm halfway through the lifespan of this card.
Well, it depends on what your demands are, right? You're playing on a higher resolution monitor.
My demands are actually kind of unreasonably high because I'm playing at 2560 by 1440 on a 27-inch monitor. Yeah. Deus Ex, for example, runs beautifully at that resolution.
Everything that runs on the Xbox is going to run beautifully at that resolution.
The only thing that doesn't run great on it is Crysis 2, but I've always had problems with Crysis games. I think they're resource hogs like no other games.
I think I could be wrong, but I think Crysis had problems with ATI cards.
And, I'm going to experiment with scaling down the resolution to a non-native resolution that still looks good.
Yeah. Turn on post-processing, like turn on the motion blur stuff.
Turn off some of the crazy effects that you don't really need. But I think I'm good. I'm certainly good through the holidays. And then, there'll be new. There's a new revolution of cards not far away,
right? The thing is the big cycle on cards is every 18 months and then there'll be incremental enhancements along that path.
The problem is let's say, for example, I go and buy whatever the sexiest, hottest new card is that comes out next year.
Yeah.
And I get a massive upgrade in GPU performance. Do you then start to have an issue where the CPU and other parts of the machine are bottlenecking
it? Not really at this point. I mean, usually you should be able to get one GPU upgrade easy if you buy a mid-range CPU, which is what we got you like a $250 CPU, as I recall.
i5 2.8,
I think, or 2.8. Yeah,
2.8.
So you should be able to get at least one upgrade and maybe two video card upgrades out of one CPU memory, especially if you upgrade since you upgraded the memory. The other
it
thing
always seems
I
like the mother. The problem is when you have to upgrade the motherboard, because as soon as you do that, basically you're doing a completely new build, right?
Well, CPU and memory usually change at the same time,
right?
When you have to switch motherboard,
right?
So yeah, I mean, I would say you should get definitely one more video card upgrade, probably two, unless something crazy happens.
Good. Yeah. So I felt like RAM was the only part of the system where I was starting to hit the limit a little bit, and fortunately, RAM is the cheapest, easiest thing to upgrade.
Indeed it is.
But I still was very jealous about some of those rigs that I saw at PAX, like those mad rigs.
You were jealous of the cases.
Because I have to admit, I am a sucker for those crazy pimped out PCs with
really?
Lights and water cooling and all kinds of flashing LEDs. It's just kind of cool.
As somebody who reviewed a ton of those PCs over the last decade,
yeah,
they're frequently very cool looking.
Yeah.
Oftentimes they're very, very loud. And
right. But doesn't liquid cooling help with that?
Well, it should. Depends on whether they use liquid cooling to make things quiet or to get crazy overclocking out of it.
Right.
If they use liquid cooling to make it a crazy overclocker, it's going to be loud.
But my understanding is what makes a PC loud is the fans.
Right.
And if liquid cooling replaced, you still have to have some fans. Okay.
And if the fans are moved outside the case because the radiator is outside the case, or it fucks up the airflow somehow, it could end up being crazy loud.
Right.
I mean,
it is annoying. Like when I know when my my iMac, obviously, I consider I don't ask it to do very much.
Yeah.
It's generally
silent,
whisper quiet.
Yeah.
When my PC is on, it's like someone's vacuuming the room. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking loud.
The thing to do. The thing is, if you're going to spend $3,000 or $4,000 on a custom PC from somebody, the thing to do is to say, hey, I want a quiet PC. I want all this liquid cooling shit because I think it looks cool.
Right.
But just don't overclock it and tune it so it's quiet rather than so it's fast.
And I kind of hate the fact
that
you can tell just how much work your PC is doing. My PC is like a fucking asthmatic pack mule.
Yeah, the moment I fire up a game.
Yeah, as soon as you start running 3D, it goes...
Well, and then you hear the hard drive clicking too.
Yeah.
Well, I don't hear that because I have an SSD.
Well, la-di-da.
The thing about the fans and stuff, that's one of the reasons I switched from using speakers to headphones, is because the video cards
that's the other good thing about
so
it. It keeps sound out as well as keeping sound in.
Yeah.
That's a good tip.
Yeah, so I just put on the headphones and then I don't hear the fans.
That's a good idea.
But that sucks because then you have to always be wearing headphones.
Right.
So anyway.
And it gets really warm anyway.
Yeah, sweaty ears. HTC announced a couple of Windows Phone 7 Mango phones this week.
Last week,
I guess now. Yeah.
Yes. HTC Titan.
Yeah.
It's massive.
Yep. And the Radar. So the Radar is essentially a current gen device, 1 gigahertz, 3.8 inches. The Titan is a 4.7 inch, so bigger than the Infuse even. Norm, you look disappointed.
I don't need a 4.7 inch phone.
But it's running a 1.5 gigahertz single core processor.
That's
so it's
cool.
Essentially an Infuse competitor.
Yep.
But running Mango. I still haven't seen anything from Nokia. I don't know that we're going to see anything by the end of this year. I'm hopeful that we'll see some stuff at Build next week.
I don't like this stuff is only 512 gigs of RAM or 512 megs of RAM.
I think that's fine for a phone right now.
You can always use more.
But memory versus battery, I'll take memory. I'll take battery.
RAM is one of those things where you just almost feel better.
Battery.
You always feel better knowing you've got too much RAM. You know, it's nice to have a nice buffer.
We should do some battery rundown tests with memory and laptops.
God, battery rundown tests.
They're fun. Nothing more fun than a good.
I love watching all those old public domain videos that Will uses.
Yeah, well, you know, there's sassy public domain videos. There's like old stag films from the 40s,
or like what the Butler Store and stuff like that.
I don't know about that, but it's just sassy. It's shit that would have been confiscated by the Postal Service had they caught it.
Like women showing their ankles and things.
Yes, oh, ankle.
more than their ankles,
Gary. More than their ankles. We had a story about laser headlights. On the site this week.
BMW is putting lasers in their headlights.
So they're not actually like shooting lasers out the front of the car.
No, they're not.
They're using the laser to energize something that then makes a lot of very bright light, right?
Yep. Laser technology in headlights.
Are these like those fucking halogen lights that blind you when people don't have them aimed right?
No. And actually, there's a really good post.
What are those,
in our
HIDs
forums.
Or something like
HIDs,
that?
HIDs are xenon lights. Halogens are the really old ones.
I don't keep up with car technology, unfortunately.
Yeah, you xenon now LED. LEDs are that's the new hot shit. That was the new hot shit.
Those were the ones that had like the little line around
the
edge.
The dots. The Audis
cool.
have the LEDs, and
I like that.
Yeah,
they look like they're from the future.
But now it's gonna be lasers.
Freaking lasers.
There's actually a really good post in our forum. You should read it if you're at all interested in car headlights and how assholes blind you about.
It's because they don't have the car setup right.
Because they get aftermarket ones.
And some of those are illegal, aren't they?
They are. They are illegal. But cops don't do anything about them is the problem. The ones that have like the really bright ones, the LED or the halogen or the xenon ones, the cars are supposed to tilt them down.
They're supposed, yeah, they're supposed to be dipped. I mean, yeah, you know, most cars have a full beam setting, but you're not supposed to keep that on unless
you
really
need it.
We only
use that in the country. Yeah.
Yes.
It's funny because living in Tennessee, I use my high beam setting all the time. Here, I don't think I've ever used the high beams in the Escape, except for when we drove.
Because when some douchebag drives by you at night with the high beams on, you know about it.
Well, the other night I had a guy following me on the way home from work that I could have held my hand up, and I'm pretty sure, like, if there was something in front of my hand, you would have seen the bones projected onto it.
That's very bright.
It was incredibly bright. I had a sunburn on the back of my neck as a result of these headlights. Velocity Micro's $300 tablet. The race to the bottom starts here, guys.
Yeah, it's begun.
Well, that's not the big story. There's the big story we didn't get last week. I don't know if you even have it on the list. Do you have it on the list?
I don't know what the story is, so it's difficult for me to know if it's
Amazon's
on the list.
Tablet?
We talked about that last week.
We talked about it last week. Have there been further developments? Oh, TechCrunch.
No, we didn't talk about Amazon.
We talked about TechCrunch.
No, No. Last week, I said I think the Amazon tablet's going to be a big deal, just out of nowhere.
Right. And then
since then, TechCrunch got their hands on
one. That's the biggest news story of this week.
And
ran some.
It's true. We buried the lead.
I apologize. I looked at that and I was like, oh, we talked about this last week.
So someone at TechCrunch got their hands on an Amazon tablet. They weren't allowed to post pictures, but they did post very detailed hands-on impressions, and there was some very interesting stuff in there.
7-inch tablet, which is what we all kind of heard about and assumed it would come out in October.
Yes.
Single core.
Yes. Phone OS. Gingerbread.
Well, but the most interesting thing is it's running Android, but it's not an Android you would recognize. It's a very heavily customized version.
So basically, I
wouldn't
even call it Android.
One at a time, kids.
Just like Nook is running Android, but you wouldn't call it Android.
Right.
It's going to be like that. No Google apps, all Android or all Amazon apps.
So they can do whatever they want with it. They're using the open source portion of Android.
Yes, and of course Amazon has its own market within Android already, which I'm sure that's what they'll direct you to.
So, and what he said was also $250.
Very compelling.
So Nook color price.
They would throw in Amazon Prime membership for a year.
That's incredible.
If you bought it.
That's
incredible. So that means you get free video streaming to the tablet.
And that's what you need.
It's
and
exactly
also
what we talked about.
What is Amazon? It's $100 a year?
$75.
So minus $75, basically $175 if you're already going to pay for
and
Prime
again,
membership.
Apparently a very slick, heavily forked version of Android that's basically this kind of Amazon ecosystem where, you know, they've got CoverFlow style browsing through titles and stuff like that. It sounds great.
Now,
Even more so than last week. Like last week, I said I thought the Amazon tablet's going to be a big deal just because it's Amazon and, you know, they'll promote the hell out of it just the same way they did with the Kindle. But like, look at this information. And I've been saying for the longest time, you know, there's no competitor iPad. This is going to be it. This is going to be
I think it's going to do very well. I think it's going to sell very well because they're going to call it the Kindle.
Well, it's going to be the new high-end Kindle.
It's going to be Kindle branded. $250
the price
is half the price of an iPad.
The price is right, and the features are just what most people need.
It's going to be on the front page of Amazon for months.
Sure. I don't think it's going to be – it's not supposed to directly compete with the iPad.
No, it's a Nook color competitor plus video and apps. And the thing is, it's going to be hackers are going to love it.
Yes.
People who want to go in and add their own stuff to it.
Yeah.
Are going to go nuts depending on how locked down it is, of course.
Yeah.
And people who are heavily invested in the Amazon ecosystem are going to be. Now, the thing that's weird about this is I don't know how many people. I know Cloud Player had an initial rush and then nobody's using it anymore. I haven't logged into Cloud Player in months since I bought a CD from Amazon last
time. This device will help with that, though.
Of course. The video store, I've used off and on just to try it out and see how it is and have not been particularly impressed because it's a little bit of an awkward experience. You always have to type in a PIN code and stuff like that. But this is a big investment in their ecosystem. The real winner here is Kindle.
I think this is the thing.
Well, not the old Kindle. I don't know if they're going to discontinue that.
They're going to continue doing the old Kindle.
They have to.
The Kindle will wind up at $99 and have a long life there, I think.
And they still want to sell the idea that you can read it in the dark.
Right.
Or you can read it in the daylight.
Right. And apparently the other thing that TechCrunch mentioned was that Amazon is down the road with a combined e-ink color tablet.
I believe that too.
We'll see that at some point down the road. But I really think this is the product where the porridge is just right. We saw with the touchpad that if you make a product super cheap, people will go, hey, it's cheap. I don't need it to be an iPad. I just want an e-reader, web browser, email, some basic functionality for cheap, and I'll get it.
Right.
But that was a discontinued product where there's not going to be any support. That was kind of a fire sale situation. What we've got here is something right in the middle, right? So it's not as cheap as $99.
It's not a race to the bottom.
It's not as expensive as the iPad.
Well, it's a highly specialized multi-purpose device.
Yes, it's highly specialized in a way that those Arcos and the Velocity Micro ones aren't, because those are just running Android and they're just
They're phones.
They're
phones without phones.
They're affordable because the hardware isn't great, but they're not. The companies aren't doing anything special to them.
It remains to be seen just how capable this thing will really be. Will it really run like the full suite of Android apps and so forth?
And how is the browser going to be? How is the email client going to be? If they're not using the default Google stuff, that has traditionally been pretty shit.
The devil is in the details, but I trust Amazon to create a good experience, I think.
I mean, the thing I think we can rest assured is that the mail experience will be – I mean, sorry, the book reading experience will be great.
The shopping experience will be great.
The buying experience. Stuff from Amazon experience will be really good. The video experience will be pretty good.
Yeah.
The music experience will be good. I'm worried about the browser and all the other stuff.
Yeah. Like, but the thing is, I think if they're just at least competent on that, I think they're going to hit a huge market where people say, look, I want a tablet. I hear tablets are great.
Right.
I don't want to spend $500 on an iPad, but nor do I need it to have all the bells and whistles that an iPad has. I just want a nice...
It's not a replacement for your laptop.
I want an e-reader. I want a browser, email, shop. You know, some basic multimedia, maybe some apps, nothing too fancy. $250. Right,
Twitter and Facebook.
The price is right. Christmas. This is going to be, I think, one of the top selling products over the holiday season. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb put me in for Eat My Words next year.
Okay.
I think it's
Amazon,
entirely
hold on,
possible.
Be specific. Amazon 7-inch tablet.
I think it's entirely possible. I'm not going to completely.
No. You're against the spirit. You got to really lean. You got to really bite into this. Make a stupid pronouncement, Gary.
I'm not going to make. I'm not willing to do what you do and predict the future like it's already written. I think there is a strong possibility that if Amazon does, as promised, release this 7-inch tablet that we've been reading about in time for the holiday season, that
if it is a real product that they release,
Amazon tablet will outsell the iPad 2 over the holidays.
Wait, this holiday season?
Yes.
So if Amazon comes out, they're 7-inch tablet.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the will stupid
thing. Hold on. Would you say the current iPad? Wrong. What if there's a new iPad?
No. Let's say
there won't be one between.
There
now
won't
and
be
Christmas.
One between.
The
now
iPad
and,
2 is going to be the holiday offering from Apple.
Okay. Let's hear it.
And this is the only if Amazon does in fact release this Amazon tablet
let's say a month
in time for the holiday season
before October 31st. But Halloween.
Well, they could release it over at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Okay. It's fine. By Thanksgiving.
If Amazon releases this tablet before Thanksgiving, it will outsell the iPad 2 over the holidays.
Holiday season lasts till what? January 1st.
January 1st.
Boxing
not?
Day.
Why not?
Okay. January 1st.
This is going
to
be impossible
not
to
be
prove.
More wrong. And also
you're saying wrong about what?
I don't think there's no way.
So Gary has. There's two things going for Gary here. One is that Amazon is going to put this on the front page of Amazon.com, and everybody who buys Christmas presents from Amazon, which is a massive number of people, is going to look at this and they're going to see, you could also buy the iPad too, but that's twice as much. Mm-hmm. And they're going to say, okay, this sounds pretty good.
It's very, very compelling. The Amazon Kindle branding is massive. There's a massive, massive loyal Kindle user base out there. The Prime membership is a huge boon that I think we're underestimating right now. That's a big deal. You're going to get all the free video that comes with Prime.
And free shipping, basically, on everything.
Yeah, free shipping on everything. So, increases your whole Amazon experience. I think we're going to actually see that it's actually a pretty good product. Like, I think they will do a good job on the experience and all the iOS stuff.
Right.
It's half the price of an iPad. You put all this together, it's really compelling.
It's a perfect storm.
Yeah.
You could buy two of them instead of one iPad.
Norm, why are you still skeptical?
They'll be able to make enough. I think iPad 2.
That's the place that you're
going to make. So that's your only issue. You think it'd just be supply constraint.
And you're talking about outsell by volume, not by revenue.
Not by revenue.
No,
because they would only have to sell one.
And also, we'll never know because Amazon never
doesn't publish unit sales. Yeah.
Right. So I'll probably have to eat my words. But I think what we're going to see is the one thing that I will guarantee.
Yeah.
That I am willing to nail my colors to the mast on is that the Amazon tablet will be the first non-iPad tablet to be a runaway success. How about that?
I think we can all agree on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, look at all these different factors.
Statements. Look forward 6 months ahead. Does that mean we're going to see a 7-inch budget iPad?
We talked about that.
But the other thing, I don't think there's going to be a 7-inch iPad in the next year. Eric Schmidt said Ice Cream Sandwich is coming out in September, October. Mm-hmm. So that could change things. Or was it October, November?
October, November.
October, November. At DreamHost when he was talking
Dreamforce.
I don't think it's going to change that much. How many?
The Salesforce thing.
Yes, the Dream Cloud.
Yeah. No, Dreamforce.
Cloud Force. I don't know. Dreams and clouds and forces. Yeah,
in the social. The Google Tablet OS has been out for a while now, and no one's been able to build a compelling piece of hardware around it. I don't know why Ice Cream Sandwich is not going to change.
I don't think it's the hardware that's the problem. I think it's the software that's the problem. If you look at the Samsung Galaxy Tabs and some of the Toshiba stuff that's coming, the hardware is there. The software is not.
What the fuck happened to Amazon.com?
Amazon.com has been redesigned.
Yeah, they've been rolling it out gradually over the last couple of weeks.
It's amazing. When I log into Amazon with my iMac, I get the new one. When I log in with my MacBook Air, the design hasn't changed yet. Yeah. Bizarre.
Oh, I just noticed. I just got the change, but I also don't shop with Amazon, the website. I only shop with the app.
You use
the
phone?
I use the phone.
Oh, I use the website. I use both, I guess.
Weird.
Did you see the thing I tweeted today that showed what Amazon looked like when it first launched?
No, but I bet that's entertaining.
It's you should pull it up. It's pretty interesting.
I can't open it because the podcast will stop working.
Well, after the show, you should look at it. It's very interesting to see what it looked like.
Atari announced their answer to the iCade. Remember the iCade, that thing at CES that's like a little
which is basically a little miniature arcade cabinet that you can put your iPad into.
It
started as a joke product, right? But people liked the idea so much.
It started as an April Fool's.
They really did it. Yeah.
So
like the Tauntaun sleeping bag.
Exactly.
I wonder how well that sold. Everyone kind of wanted that. I wanted one.
$99, and we couldn't be bothered to call it in by the time they actually released it.
But Atari's offering, though it doesn't it doesn't have the kind of the cool aesthetic trappings of the
It just looks like
iCade.
A dock.
It's basically just like a dock with a joystick
and like three or four buttons.
Yeah. Pretty good, right? The reviews have been good.
People are kind to it,
and of course it runs with that really fantastic Atari iPad
30
app,
games.
Which gives you all the games. You have to buy the game separately, but
many of them, yes.
Yeah, if you want to play classic Atari games, this is a great way to do it.
I have to say the classic games work reasonably well. Like they look right on the iPad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it also a charging dock?
I don't know if you can put it a charger.
I would assume so. I think it is. It would seem like a dumb omission if they didn't do that.
Yeah, if they didn't do that, they've made a mistake.
Yeah.
Although I don't think you could on the iCade just because it was a kind of closed box.
Anyway, it looks good. I saw Engadget gave it a good review. Are you going to get one in and test it?
Maybe we'll get both and do head to head.
I don't think so. Those
it's a gimmick. It's a good gift product.
No, it's not a good gift product.
Really? Why not? I would be happy to receive that as a gift.
You think so? You ever use that
And then
that
2 years later, you'll throw it.
Well, that's
you'll,
what gift products are.
No, don't give gifts that people are going to throw out in 2 years and never use.
Or throw in 2 weeks. Or just put away in the closet.
Right. You're going to clean out your closet in 10 years and be like, oh, man, this doesn't work with my iPad
12. That's why the entire ThinkGeek catalog is this category of product.
Fair enough.
And they seem to do a pretty good business.
I'm not saying it's something that people won't buy. I'm just saying it's not a good gift.
I agree. It's a novelty.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be gathering
Spencer's
dust after a few weeks. Yeah.
Right. Just go get a Rush t-shirt from 1977 that's brand new but looks aged.
So why are we even talking about it?
It happened this week.
Okay.
The phone, there's actually a new phone out today. Finally, the Motorola Bionic,
yes.
Which has been this, I think, is probably the most highly anticipated Gingerbread phone for a while.
What is this? What makes this special?
Well, it's their newest phone, dual core, running Texas Instruments processor, not an NVIDIA processor. So it's going to be actually a lot better than they say. It's smoother even than the Tegra 2 stuff.
Okay.
Stupid QHD screen. Hopefully, I don't know if the screen's any better than.
I bet it's the same shitty one that they put on the Atrix.
It's also LTE.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's on Verizon?
Yeah, it's on Verizon.
Oh, it's Droid Bionic, yeah.
It's $300 on contract.
Oh.
But all reviews say it's really good. And I have a friend who's been waiting. I think this is like...
Is this your friend who has the Droid X?
No, it's my friend who has the Droid 1. I think I know a lot of people, Joey included, who got the Droid 1 when it first came out, November, 2 years ago.
2009.
The contract's up now. They're ready for the upgrade. Wait for Ice Cream Sandwich. I'm sure these phones will eventually get Ice Cream Sandwich.
Well, they're all part of the deal.
Wait for real Ice Cream Sandwich phones. There's going to be a CTIA in October. We'll see new phones announced there.
You know what I hate about Ice Cream Sandwich?
It's a terrible name.
Well, that. Say it. But the fact that every time someone says it, I want an ice cream sandwich.
It's the same. Yep.
I could totally.
I want sushi and ice cream sandwich.
Oh, that would be a perfect combination. So is the Bionic now like the new flagship in the Droid range?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. It is.
Does it have a keyboard?
No keyboard. It's not a slide out, but it will do the dock.
Oh, so it's a different dock than the motor than the Atrix.
No, it's the same lap dock.
Really?
It's the same.
Michael Gardenberg said on Twitter that it's a different device. It doesn't work with the Atrix dock.
No. It's the same style. There's no upgrades to the dock.
That's lame. So that sled is a one use $500 piece of shit.
Yep.
No, don't buy those things.
$300.
Don't buy those things. Back to the Future.
It's big news.
Ooh, remember the shoes?
No, wait. Let's talk about
Back to the Future
happened,
Part 2. Right?
Part 2.
Back to the Future Part 2, everyone remembers the famous Nike shoes.
Power laces.
And the glasses, Dr. Brown's
and
glasses.
And the self-drying adjustable fit jacket.
Yeah. And the hoverboard.
The jacket, to be fair.
Well, pretty much everything. Back to the Future 2 was great.
It's amazing.
Right.
The jacket Fusion. I thought was really crappy.
What's that?
The jacket I thought was...
You didn't like the jacket?
Oh, the jacket was cool.
The way the sleeves were like accordion sleeves.
Well, yeah, but once it fitted, it looked fine.
Well... I don't think that's knowledge you cannot.
You are looking at this not with the eyes of wonder that we, Gary and I, witnessed when we were probably, I was 9, you were 13 or 14 respectively, right?
What do you think? Well, it came out in 1989, so I was 17.
I was 14.
Yeah. I was 5.
Now, when I'm a 17-year-old kid and those shoes lace themselves up, I'm thinking, man, that is pretty fucking
awesome.
That
solves a real problem.
Now, what's interesting is, you know, we've said all the time about 2015, because we're approaching 2015, right? And all the cool shit in the movie has not yet transpired.
No flying cars.
Other cool shit has transpired.
No
hoverboards.
Some of the shit that seemed cool.
They had good 3D, not the shit that we have today.
Well, the 3D was pretty shit. I mean, when the Jaws...
Well, that was pretty cool. Massive CGI shark that comes out and bites you across the street.
Well, the interesting thing, though, is that some of the stuff that looked awesome then doesn't look real awesome now. Well, like the self-rehydrating pizzas and stuff like that.
But like, most of the cool stuff we don't have. We don't have hoverboards. We don't have flying cars. We don't have Mr. Fusion.
No.
Home energy reactors.
No. Mm-hmm.
But Nike has...
We have a lot of 3D.
They have at least beaten us to the... They beat 2015 to the punch, and we are now going to have power laces.
They patented this a few years ago.
They patented this last year, last August.
Really? It was just last August?
Last year.
Okay.
And so they've been working on this for a year, and they sent out these...
Dude, they've been working on this since 1989. Sure.
They sent out these really awesome press kits to like these shoe enthusiasts.
With the wraparound Doc Brown glasses.
Included the wraparound Doc Brown glasses, which I'm sure they're steel, so you can't see through them.
Right.
The movie, and a bunch of like soda pop.
Bad timing for the podcast, because there's a lot of kind of rumor type pictures going around, but the
we haven't actually
tonight,
seen them.
We'll know tomorrow what these shoes really look like.
Yeah,
but they're not just mock-ups, right? They are really meant to do what the shoes did. You put your
foot
in.
$500 bucks.
It's awesome. So
you put your foot in, right? It's pressure sensitive. So as soon as your foot goes in, it will. There's some kind of ratchet electrical. It's some kind of powered device that ratchets up the laces and fits your foot.
Now let's talk about this in the real world, because this is one of those things that sounds awesome in a press kit or on a demo video.
Yeah.
And the third time you put your foot in these things, it's not going to cinch up anymore.
You think?
I think it's probably not going to be very good.
Well, we'll see. They also light up, which is great.
I like that.
I'm really hoping that they will manufacture enough of these. It's a novelty product, but I'm a sucker. I want to own one. I want to fulfill my childhood fantasy of finally owning a pair of those shoes that I idolized when I was 17 years old.
The coolest marketing thing, also, they include iPod shuffles with all the kits. And you put the shuffle in, you plug it in your headphones, you put them on, and you hear Doc Brown saying, if my calculations are correct, in the next 24 hours, you're about to see some serious shit.
That's pretty cool.
That's good.
The problem is, though, here's what I think. I imagine it's going to be a very limited run.
Yes.
Very expensive.
Yes.
I don't care so much about the expensive, but the limited run. There are, you know, the kind of people that camp out.
You're not going to be able to get
like hardcore sneakerheads that will camp out for weeks.
Yeah.
Remember the episode of Entourage where Turtle wanted the sneakers?
Yeah.
And even Vinny couldn't help him. So he did in the end.
Sometimes I can't do anything.
Although he did. He actually got him something better because he's Vinny.
Yeah.
But I can't compete with these guys.
No.
I'm not
going
to sit in line. And these guys are going to buy 20 pairs. This is what's going to piss me off. There's going to be images. The day after the shoes come out, there's going to be images all over the internet of some guy in his shitty apartment, because the apartments always look shitty, right? But there's 20 pairs of fucking power lace Nikes.
I bet they'll limit these. The other thing is, in a year, they'll come out with the non-limited edition version.
And I think I would be okay with those two.
Huh?
It won't be as cool.
I don't care.
The coolest part about the patent, though, because remember the case that it came in, the bag?
Yeah, like a cylindrical case.
Right? That's also the charging station.
Oh, you have to charge the shoes?
Well, how are they electrically powered? Themselves? Come on.
Here's the key thing. Do they say power releases?
I don't know.
That's what you want.
Need that. And the charging needs to be like MagSafe charging. That would be amazing.
Oh, yeah. Just conductive charging, like a touchstone. So fucking awesome.
That's the sound of the future.
I love the future, but damn. I'd rather have hoverboards.
The rumor was that I don't know if this is true. There's a lot of rumors. One rumor that I heard is they're $500 a pair, and they're only making 1,989 pairs to commemorate the year.
Why wouldn't they make 2015 pairs?
Because the movie came out in 1989.
They'll do another. I bet there'll be another limited.
I hope there is, because I remember when the Star Wars Adidas came out, and they were hard to find.
They were really hard to find.
These are going to be a million times worse.
Yes.
You know, there's a whole subculture of Nike releases these super, super limited edition.
Well, all the sneaker people do this. All the sneaker companies.
And there is this subculture of crazy motherfuckers who will spend all their money. They'll just live on ramen noodles for a year so they can buy these fucking shoes.
I will tell you right now, There is a classic W front Puma that if I could find, I would pay almost any amount of money to buy. They don't make them colored suede. They don't make them. They made a limited rerun. They were shoes from my youth. Made a limited rerun a few years ago, and then they stopped fucking making them, and they're just making those goddamn Clydes with the round toe that doesn't fit right.
Well, I am going to make an effort.
Converse All-Stars from iRobot.
That's another fucked up thing. The Converse All-Stars from iRobot, the classic vintage ones that Will Smith mentioned.
The leather ones.
The year that he's like 1999, because I think that was the year the movie came out, or 2001, whatever it was. The year that he mentions is the first year that those stopped being produced in Virginia or North Carolina, wherever they were made for 50 years.
They still
years.
Make them today. I bought a pair of those
They moved
earlier
them to Malaysia
year.
Or China or something. So like there was the actual people who were into those sneakers were really upset about that line because the year that he referenced as vintage was the first year they'd been moved offshore and the quality had really suffered
well,
as a result.
I didn't know that. Okay. I am gonna keep an eye on the internets over the next 24 hours. I am gonna be interested to see how available these things will be.
Just go to eBay.
I will spend the money, but I'm not gonna camp out in front of a fucking.
Just go hire a homeless guy to do it.
Undefeated
for
like six days.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna do the homeless thing. I did that. I saw that in the first iPhone. I've seen it a couple of times now in iPhone lines. I've been in every iPhone line on launch day, and you see like a homeless guy. Sitting, he's the first guy in line. You think, what the fuck is he doing?
Sell the spot.
And then 5 minutes before the store opens, a guy pulls up literally in a fucking like Mercedes SLK.
Yeah.
Like a $100,000 car or whatever it was he was driving, gives the guy $50 and takes his place in line. I think, you scumbag.
Wow. Just $50?
The best one was the woman. Did you see the woman from Texas?
Saw that.
No, what did she do?
This was great.
She
one of the guys on the shack was the guy who sold his place in line.
She went up to the regular she didn't hire a guy to stand in line, but she went up to the guy that was happened to be first in line and said, "I'll give you whatever it is, $5,000 for your place in line."
It wasn't that much, it was like $1,000.
But she had a lot of money on her.
Because her plan was to go in and
big
buy
bag, she had a big bag of cash.
And she wanted to buy
and she said, "I'm gonna buy all the phones." He was going la 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 la, and all the people behind her, of course, are fuming because now they're not gonna get a phone. She goes into the AT&T store,
buy two.
Two per customer.
Yeah.
And she wasted all the money buying place in line.
So the other side of the story is that I think that a dude who posts on Shaq, because there was a thread about this on Shaq News, the dude who was the guy that she bought the place in line from is posted his side of the story.
Which was what?
Which was basically like, I made $1,000, just went to the back of the line, picked up my phone an hour later.
Yeah.
And she paid for my phone and my girlfriend's phone.
It was great. I love it when those kind of douchebags who will not... I have the big Larry David complex where I think, you know, there's all kinds of like implied social contracts that exist in our society,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
There's a spirit of fair
no
play.
No chat and cut.
There's no chat and cut. Mm-hmm. There is a spirit of fair play that we all should abide by. It's not written down anywhere. It's just what's right.
Right is right.
And when people do things like that, they contradict that code.
Yeah. For taxes.
And so when those people try to do that
and they fuck it up
and they come a cropper, that pleases me immensely.
Come a what?
Come a cropper.
What does that mean?
Oh, it's an English phrase.
Come a cropper?
Explain.
You have to look at it. Basically, it means when you know your plans come to ruin.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't work out for you. You're the loser.
One last piece of news. Intel's Bull Mountain. Do we want to talk about this? It's really an interesting story. It's something that has massive implications. Gary's going to think it's boring. I'm going to go ahead and say that right now.
I'm already bored.
So generating random numbers is a hard thing to do. Like truly random numbers, which you need for cryptography and all sorts of
11.
Stuff.
There you go. It's fucking easy.
No. You need a massive string of random numbers.
But I just did it.
No. Give me another 3 million.
I mean, how long have you got? I could do it.
Are they going to be really random? You'll start making
patterns. Are we going to get into the argument about how nothing is truly random? Norm's interesting me more than you right now because he's showing me a video of Back to the Future sneakers, which is where kind of
shelves
my head is still at. Yeah, but that's CG, isn't it?
No.
That's
real?
I think it's
real?
CG.
Uploaded by Doc Emmett Brown, 88, on September 6th.
It looked like CG
2011.
It looks pretty amazing. Look at the lights are flashing on them. We truly have entered the future.
So... shoe-related technology.
So random numbers.
Basically, you need random numbers in order to have secure cryptography and a whole bunch of other things. Traditionally, you generate random numbers either by taking a large random seed that's generated someplace outside, either by some dude throwing dice for hundreds and hundreds of hours, or more likely they just aim a radio telescope at an empty patch of space and convert background radiation from the universe into random numbers.
Right.
Because that is theoretically random. Somebody at Intel realized that part of the process of how silicon transistors work on chips can actually be random. So they found an element of randomness that it's inside CPUs and can generate one bit of random information each clock cycle of a CPU. So on a 2 gigahertz dual core CPU, you can generate 4 billion random bits of information a second.
Okay.
So yeah. This is a good thing for a lot of reasons previously mentioned.
This was a difficult segue coming out of the sneakers, I think.
I agree. It's the last thing on the list. I have to get in here.
Looking back, I would have ordered this differently.
I didn't bring the sneakers into the conversation.
Yeah, but you knew we were going to talk about them.
But the sneakers were after this. The sneakers were the payoff for this.
That might have been the better way to do
that,
it.
In retrospect, I would have not.
But then who brought the sneakers up?
I think Norm started talking about the sneakers.
No.
Did I do the Back to the Future sneaker transition?
I think you fucked up.
We're on the list.
I was supposed to go from the laser headlights to the bull mountain to the sneaker transition. So there's a nice up and then a down and then an up again.
It was a nice idea, just poorly executed.
Yeah, well, that's the story of the show. So, bull mountain, randomness built into chips in the future. There's an API for that. And, it's a 5-year thing. So that has been news, unless we have anything else. Anything? Bueller? I'm going to play some music, and then we're going to talk about what we've been testing. This week, I've been testing a mouse.
Gaming mouse.
It's a portable notebook gaming mouse. It's the Logitech G300.
What kind of mouse isn't portable?
It's small. It's a little smaller. It's
I would argue like the Razer Mamba is not portable because
it has a dock.
A dock station. And,
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, like the G9 is fine, but it has a long cord you have to wrap up. This one is a corded mouse, so it's not like you lose the cord. It's a 2500 DPI optical sensor. It's about, what, $40? I think $39 MSRP.
$40 and $30 street.
Yeah, so interesting things about it. It's you can adjust the resolution. That's what makes it a gaming mouse. So you can be slower cursor movement or faster cursor movement depending on what you're doing in a game. And it's ambidextrous for lefties, people like you.
Interest.
That definitely interests me. Right, because as a left-handed person, I get screwed on mice and golf clubs all the time.
Well, so. And power tools and home appliances.
Many things.
All sorts
really.
Of stuff. Like even like a food processor, which you have to open the wrong way for you.
There aren't many things that really are a disadvantage as a lefty these days. But golf clubs are a big problem.
Well, my sister is left-handed, and she has a left-handed skill saw, I think, at one point. Because if you think about it, you use a circular radial saw. You hold it with the right hand on the trigger and the left hand on the holder. And if you're left-handed and want to hold it, you either have to hold it right-handed way or you switch and you cross
over.
But it's entirely possible
that it could be one of those things that I do right-handed anyway. Because even though I'm left-handed, like many people, there are something like I use scissors with my right hand.
Probably.
Really?
Probably.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Really like precise cutting scissors?
Well, if you put a pair of scissors in my left hand, I'd be hopeless.
They don't work.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
My right hand, I'm fine. But I write with my left hand.
Right.
I do
you
most
eat
things.
Eat with your left hand?
Wait, I what?
Do you eat with your left hand?
Well,
knife and fork? Does your fork go in your right hand or your left hand?
Oh, it's kind of like the...
Well, your fork goes in your left hand no matter what side you are.
No. Yeah. Our fork goes in our right hand.
No, the fork goes in your left.
What?
You use the knife in your right hand.
Well, no, I mean when you're shoveling food into your mouth.
Every place setting you've ever seen, well, I assure you, the fork's on the left.
I'm not talking about where the fork sits on the table. I'm talking about when you have it in your hand and you're using it to stab food and lift it into your mouth. Use your right hand or your left hand.
My left hand, just like all people do, regardless of what their hand
scooping,
situation is.
When you are using just a fork,
if I have just a fork and I'm scooping or a spoon when I'm eating cereal, it is my right hand, but I can use...
But when you are presented with a knife and fork, the fork is always held on the left.
But it's correct. This is an English etiquette versus an American etiquette thing, because you fork, and you don't put the fork down. You put lift the food to your mouth with your left hand after you've cut a piece of meat off, right?
Yeah, that's how you eat food.
Usually after I cut off the piece of meat, the next thing I would do is put it in my mouth. Yes.
So here, you're supposed to cut and then switch to the right hand and shovel with the right
hand. No!
This is what I was taught.
You're supposed to cut all your
another fascinating
your
glimpse into Will's childhood emerges.
Wait, it's kind of like the King's Speech, where like you grew up and they wouldn't let you use the left hand for the fork; you had to go with the right hand.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And yet, that's why all your stutter.
Wait, so explain. Yeah. I'm going to have to pay very close attention next time I watch you eat because.
So do you not cut your steak?
I cut, and then I switch hands.
Wait, so and then you switch again to cut again?
Yeah. You do what? Explain this to me. So. Okay, I've presented you with...
I made a horrible mistake.
I presented you with... You have been presented with a steak
on
a plate.
Steak.
And you've got a knife and fork. Mm-hmm. The fork's on the left, the knife's on the right.
Cut a piece of meat.
Okay.
Switch fork from left hand to right hand. Knife goes down, obviously. You put the knife on the edge of the plate.
And then you are making this much more complicated than it needs to be.
When I sit down to eat a nice meal, I'm not in a race. I'm there to enjoy myself.
Well,
why can't you just use your left hand?
Because it's a little gauche.
It's one motion. What? No, yeah. The queen eats this way.
Yeah, you know. I mean, that's the way they used to do it in her day.
You cut it like that.
Yeah.
You take a piece of meat.
Yeah.
And you apply it directly to your face.
Yes.
Yeah.
I understand. There are two correct ways to do this. Different people can do different things.
Yes, you can. Different. You of course, it's America. It's a free country. You're free to use your knife and fork any way you wish.
Guys.
I'm just saying. I think the comments will bear me out. The way you're doing it is not what most people would consider normal. Right. I think
this, not for every step. I could see the argument.
Cut four pieces of meat and then eat them, shovel.
No one does that.
No, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Unless you're a kid.
So you cut one piece and then you eat right there.
I'm not talking about going to a fucking steakhouse and, you know, picking up some fried chicken. I guess you don't pick up fried chicken at a steakhouse.
No, maybe you do.
All I know is that this is when I was instructed as a child how you behave at a fancy restaurant or a fancy meal with somebody important. You put the fork down. Put the knife down, grab the stab.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is the true high class swanky etiquette.
It's like triple your eating time.
Yeah, I mean,
when you are eating in a fancy situation,
you're turning what should be a one step process into like a four step process.
That's what fancy stuff is all about.
So let me get this right. You'll cut the piece of steak.
Yeah,
one piece
with the saw. You will then put down the knife.
Yes.
On the edge transfer of the fork to your knife hand.
And then stab the meat again.
No, the meat's still on the fork. Usually.
Wait, so you transfer while the meat is on the fork?
It's just
when you could readily just put in your mouth.
As I said.
You transfer.
This is what I was taught.
Maybe this is how the
it's not like Power, where like if you mix the red and the black cables, everything goes haywire.
I was explicitly told as a child because I have my mom's family is English, and my aunt lived in England her entire youth. Right?
Yeah.
So I used to watch them and be like, oh look, they don't do this, and I was explicitly told the proper way to do it here is to put the knife down and then switch to the fork hand.
Maybe this is a cultural thing. Maybe some different part regions do it this way, but I've never heard of this. It's very interesting.
It could be something that I
definitely cannot do this.
What hand do you wipe your ass with?
Whichever one has the toilet paper in it.
Which hand typically has the toilet paper?
Usually right, but I mean, I can.
And then
go
what?
Left
so once
too.
You've wiped it, do you then transfer the shitty paper to your left hand before you flush it?
Why are we having this conversation?
Because it's bizarre and it's fascinating.
I don't eat the shit after I wipe the. It's not like
I'm not asking you to eat it.
It's not like norm.
It's a one step. That's
We've
a one.
Had
that's a one step process.
Conversations in a row on podcasts.
You got to give the people what they want.
People love it.
I don't think they do.
All right, let's just move.
So the G300, it's relatively nice. It's ambidextrous. It's not the best sensor I've used. It's fine.
I'm always grateful for an ambidextrous mouse. I'm always jealous of these kind of sexy mice that you see at the store, and then they're contoured for the right hand.
Yeah.
It's no good to me.
Yeah. Well, you should learn to be right-handed.
Why would I do that?
It's better.
No,
all the shit that doesn't work for you would work.
Well, it would certainly make buying golf clubs easier.
Yes.
But I would have
you just bought a new set of golf clubs.
I'm shitty enough with my left hand, left-handed orientation with golf as it is. I don't have to start again from scratch.
What if all this time you've been trying to play golf left-handed and the natural way for you to play is right-handed?
Well,
and you could be the best golfer in the
world. What's interesting is Phil Mickelson, who is arguably the best golfer in the world, certainly one of the very best, is right-handed, but he plays lefty.
Hmm.
Because
so is it one of those
because
things?
Because
like,
his father taught him to play,
and his father's left-handed.
He taught him to play as in a mirror image.
Oh,
so he would stand across from. I think I'm right. I'm sure there's something. This is the story that I heard. Maybe I've got it wrong. But his father would stand across from him, and he would mirror him, and that's how he learned.
Wow, it's
just one of those things. Even though he was right-handed, he just learned golf early on.
Because
all the great golfers were playing when they were kids.
Yeah, you got to play when you're four.
We've all seen the images of like Tiger at 2 years old on the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, that's to be that good, you have to have it drilled into you at such a young age,
Tiger.
Like Mozart and so forth.
Well, Mozart was a prodigy. That's different.
Well, yes, but he was also a prodigy that was locked in his father's attic for like hours a day and wasn't allowed out until he had learned to play.
So the secret of being a musical genius is to be a prodigy and then be locked in your father's attic.
You have to be. I'm fascinated by the whole subject of nature versus nurture. Like, was Michael Jordan born as great a basketball player as he was?
Potential.
I think we have the potential.
I mean, that's the thing.
You can be born with the potential, but you also have to unlock it through rigorous practice.
You have to
practice.
Reach level 60.
Larry Bird shooting hundreds of free throws every day.
Right. You've got to do
Jordan
it. You've
practicing
got to,
for 6 hours
do.
A day
that's,
after
if
practice.
If you want to be truly great at anything, no one is truly great at anything just because they were born that way.
No.
Yeah.
You can be okay and right. can be very good.
And, many people that aren't born with the talent gene, whatever it is, can practice all day and become good, but yeah. they can never become truly great because they don't have the genetic foundation.
Well, that's what TV's for.
Yeah, that's why I just watch TV. Yeah.
That's why you got to make everyone else worse than you. Then relatively, you are super great.
We also tested VidRhythm, which Vinny... Yeah.
Out today.
Vinny, yeah, it's out today. It's today's app of the day. Vinny described it as a nightmare factory. I think that's probably
He's not wrong. Yeah. We discovered this at PAX.
Well, we didn't discover it.
The first time
we saw it was at PAX.
So Harmonix have created this cool little app, which is kind of like a little music generator using video.
Yeah, and so what you do is you record a couple of samples. It says make a song, the noise that sounds like a kettle drum, and it's bomb. And then it makes cymbal noises, and it says sing a note and sing a harmony and blah, blah, blah.
Turns out if you have no sense of tone.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Then
works great.
It still makes a fun video.
Yeah. And then it feeds it algorithmically builds a video out of these songs based on some templates.
Yeah.
And you can make some stuff that is really, really just reprehensible. But
absolutely.
Cool.
And only $1.99. I think they're going to sell a lot of these. It's a really – I think kids are going to love it. I think the parents are going to hate it.
Yeah.
But you can create some really, really fun little music ditties.
I think it'll be great, actually,
the one that we
for
created,
Thanksgiving.
The one that we created is online. I put it up on my YouTube channel, so you can go see that.
Okay.
It's a perfect thing for AirPlay.
Yeah.
Like you save it and then you broadcast it on the TV.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. You can do that too.
I am.
We showed ours at PAX, right? And the people were
showed it on the panel.
We got a good response.
Yeah, I've since made a whole bunch more, and they are always funny.
They really are like the stuff of nightmares.
I really think you take it to Thanksgiving, get your grandma in front of it, and get her to make bomb noises, and you'll have something.
I mean,
really
it's going
to
be it's hilarious.
It's a good family activity, kids, whatever.
Expect brings all the whole family songs together. To be made with VidRhythm.
Yes. Anything else? What have you been testing? We got some headphones coming, but they're not here yet.
I have these amazing laptops in.
We have six laptops for something that'll happen tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes. Amazing, awesome,
huge,
massive laptops.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call them their desktop replacements.
Yes,
they are real computers.
Yeah, those are big hulking Samsonite laptops,
briefcases.
Yeah. And I guess that's it for what we're testing. We've been getting ready for the big live show this week, so it's been kind of a quiet week on the tested front. I'm gonna play the music. Let's do a couple of questions and then roll out of here, get some lunch. Here is our first question. It's a little long, but it's a good question, so I'm going to play it anyway.
Hey, Tested Crew. Daniel from Florida here, Falcon on the forums. I have a lot to say, so I'm going to talk kind of fast. This is more of a speculative thing, looking for your opinion rather than a straight question. So next week is Build. Other than Windows 8 in the general sense, we still have no idea what sort of specifics will be talked about for any of Microsoft's products. However, the word Silverlight has yet to be uttered by anyone out of Redmond when it comes to Windows 8. We can safely assume that this will change next week. Shifting gears slightly, Microsoft said 2 years ago that Silverlight would be coming to the Xbox 360, but that is yet to happen. There is also a vague announcement of an IPTV service coming to the Xbox 360 this fall. I think it's possible that it could use Microsoft's media room and be Silverlight-based. Microsoft has said for many years now that an IPTV service would be coming to the Xbox, but beyond what I believe is a small offering of Sky content in the UK, we've seen nothing. The delay of Silverlight may be the cause for the delay of the full IPTV service. A little bit of side information. Recently, the Twit Network moved into a new building in San Francisco, as you may know, and they had a launch party not too long ago. On this week's episode of Windows Weekly, Leo Laporte vaguely talked about a conversation he had with an unnamed Microsoft employee at this party. Said employee casually told Leo that Microsoft would like it if his network's content were to be available on the Xbox. Silverlight could be behind making such a thing possible, as the platform is open to developers. Finally, Build is totally next week, guys! Thanks. Keep up the great work and always be testing.
So the thing about Silverlight being delayed on the Xbox, I don't think is the problem with IPTV on the Xbox. I think the problem with IPTV on the Xbox is that the cable companies don't. So, okay, take a step back. Microsoft's home room, is that that's what it's called, right? Home, it's home something. He said it like three times and I can't remember. It's basically it lets you use your Xbox as a cable box. So you launch the app, the program that this program, and instead of having Media Center or something like that comes up, it basically gives you on-demand live TV streamed over the internet rather than your cable line from your cable provider to you.
And that's great, right? I mean, that's getting towards the idea of just one box in the living room that's the
fantastic
hub for everything.
Idea.
We love this idea.
The problem with it, and the nice thing is it sidesteps all the nasty cable card requirements and all that kind of stuff.
And you can get your Xbox friend notifications and things and game invites right while you're watching live TV. Tremendous.
Exactly.
Why don't we have this already?
The reason we don't have this is that the cable companies don't like to give that kind of control. They don't want Microsoft to be the only gateway for IPTV outside of their shitty Motorola and Scientific American boxes. An interesting thing I found out a few weeks ago from one of our readers is that all of those cable boxes basically run a standard hardware platform, and then the software is built up on top of them. But they're all really, really low-powered ARM platforms. It's basically the same hardware, whether you have a Motorola box or Scientific American box or whatever, maybe a different revision or iteration of it. And then the only thing that changes is the software. The media room thing, I think, is super interesting. IPTV is very interesting. I don't know that it's going to happen in the foreseeable future outside of the cable providers who want to innovate and disrupt the large guys. So if you're on Comcast or Charter right now, or Cox or one of the Rogers or any of the big providers, you're probably not going to see IPTV. If you're on one of these small disruptive providers, you have a much better chance of seeing them. Although that said, who knows what Microsoft's going to announce? They have talked about a bunch of IPTV stuff. I think that they've announced that apps are coming to Xbox Live in some limited format, not even as open as the Apple App Store, but something that's very closed and protected. And that stuff will be interesting. I don't think that Silverlight as a thing seems to be being replaced. If you look at Windows 8, the apps and the stuff that they're doing on the new dashboard and all those little apps that are in the Metro style squares are HTML5 apps. They're not Silverlight apps. And I think that Silverlight is not a good solution for lightweight platforms. Is why that is the case.
Silverlight's usually one of those things I only ever have to contend with if I actually, on the rare occasion, I actually want to go to a Microsoft site.
Well,
they force you to use it.
It used to be that Netflix used Silverlight. So the Netflix, like the actual instant streaming player on the desktop, used Silverlight. I think they've moved away from that now. I think Silverlight, like Flash, is on the wane.
I mean, I think that hopefully the idea is that HTML5, which is open source and will become the standard, right?
It's not really open. It's just an open standard.
Well, that's what I meant, open standard.
Next question.
Hello, Will, Norm, Gary, and hopefully Anna. This is Michael Anderson from Helsingborg, Sweden, and my username is Testor. Don't really have any interesting trivia, so I'll just mention that our local energy company is installing a huge citywide fiber network and renting access to third parties that wish to provide services, i.e. I have 100 megabits fiber for about $50 a month.
So jealous.
My question is for Will about Android emulation. Why did you say that it was a good idea for the BlackBerry tablet to have Android emulation, but then said that it was a bad idea for the HP tablet to have it? Thanks for a great podcast.
Well, that's a really good question. The reason I thought it was good for the Android tablet, good for the BlackBerry and bad for WebOS is that Android, BlackBerry didn't have any native apps. It's a very small installed base very small developer pool. There's not a lot of functionality out there, and they don't have core apps like Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that. HP, on the other hand, has been working on WebOS, or Palm had been working on WebOS for 2 years at the time that we did that review. So there is a fairly, even though it's not as big as Android or the App Store, the Apple App Store, or the Google Marketplace, it's still a fairly significant number of apps developed. And there are people working on that, or were people working on that platform. So it's a little bit different situation. And the emulation on the BlackBerry side gave them an opportunity to kind of bootstrap themselves into those core apps that they may or may not have had at launch.
The irony being, of course, that the majority of these touchpads that are being sold will probably wind up as Android machines.
I would assume so at this point, yeah. So one more question, and then we'll roll into
Hello.
Fake out things.
Will, Norm, Gary, and other thought leaders. I'm Cyrus Sphinx from the forums and on Twitter. Hometown trivia, I am from Austin, Texas, which is like living on a really nice island surrounded by Fox News. I wanted to ask you guys about meal replacement bars. I know that Gary and Norm have tried a few and wanted to get their recommendations. I'm currently a student at university, and I'm always grabbing food on the go, which means fast food, which will start to take its toll on my shapely figure. Any recommendations would be great. Thanks. And in the Will versus Raccoons Dance of Death, I would place my money on the Raccoons. Thank you, and always be testing.
Safe bet.
I don't know anyone who backed Will.
No, yeah. I didn't back myself. I thought the Raccoons had me, you know, the femoral artery thing.
Oh yeah, you'd be the more I thought about it over the course of the ensuing week, the more I figured it would be one sided in favor of the Raccoons. Yeah. They would just eat you alive
with no tools. I lose all advantages I have. I traditionally have been a Builder's Bar guy in the morning because it's relatively high protein.
Why do you need the high protein in the morning? You don't need the high protein.
Just because I need protein in my diet.
You can have protein in your diet.
Those are
for after workouts.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe that explains why I've been gaining so much weight. I just switched to the Kind Bars.
They're delicious.
They are good. They're a little hard to eat though.
What? No way.
They're hard to peel out of the thing. They crumble a lot. They're messy.
No, you're doing it wrong.
I'm eating in the car.
I don't eat them anymore, but I was a big fan of them. I'm glad to have introduced you to Kind Bars.
Wait, you're off the Kind Bars?
Too many carbs.
It's all good carbs, though.
Explain.
Well, it's all fiber, and it's all
– It's not all fiber. The vast majority of it is not fiber.
Yeah, it's just cranberries. Cranberries aren't fiber.
Well, it's still delicious. It's my breakfast bar.
I discovered the Kind Bars at LAX. I was hungry. I was already on my diet at that point. I wasn't in the low carb phase, but I didn't want to spend $8 for a fucking Burger King at the airport.
Yeah.
So I bought a Kind Bar instead. Loved them. Ordered a couple of boxes. The Fruit and Nut Delight is probably the king of them all. Norm's become a big fan. If you're going to eat like a granola, you know, one of those type bars, these are the best.
Yeah, the trick is to watch just pay attention to the calories and the ratio of carbs.
Yeah, you can get carried away. Since I went low carb, I moved on to these things called Quest bars. And I think you type in Google Quest protein, they'll come right up. Lots of protein, low carb, lots of fiber.
But they taste good.
They do taste good. They take a little bit of getting used to. They're kind of chewy. But I'll bring one in for you. And you're welcome to try one.
So the Builder's Bars have a lot of soy protein, which has pros and cons.
Soy protein, yeah. They don't highly recommend soy
especially
protein,
if you're trying to have children. Soy protein is estrogeny and not good for you.
Yeah, the protein in the Quest Bars is 100% whey protein isolate, which is the best protein you can get.
Outside of meat.
It's up there with the top proteins. Yeah. And 18 grams of fiber, which is the most fiber I've ever seen like per ratio in anything.
You must be incredibly regular.
You know, I got to tell you, my trips to the bathroom are a delight these days.
Okay.
30 seconds.
Not as awesome as the people on the juice diet, the juicers. You know, Daniel and Ethan here are just drinking one. I think it's a liter.
It's a liter.
Of the naked juice.
The problem with that is it's not sustainable. You're not going to live the rest of your life like that.
Well, are you going to live the rest of your life with no carbs?
Not no carbs. Once I hit my target weight, I've lost 40 pounds so far.
You're going
to
increase
the
carbs.
I've got 20 more to go.
Okay.
Once I hit maintenance, the amount that I'm eating right now and the ratios of my macronutrients and everything it's designed to sustain weight loss.
Okay.
Once I hit a weight that I want to stay at, I can bring some things back into my diet.
And so you'll reintroduce carbs.
They will still be relatively low.
Okay.
And garbage carbs, like, you know, white bread, flour,
refined sugar,
sweets, and primarily sugar, fructose, things like that, they're never coming back. Yeah. I'm never eating that shit again. But I will, you know, whole grains and brown rice and, you know, things like that, some pasta occasionally. I mean, if you told me that I could never eat another nice plate of spaghetti bolognese for the rest of my life, I'd kill myself.
Yeah.
Because those are, you know, I enjoy those things. You've got to moderate that stuff.
Of course. So that's questions. If you have a question, do we answer the question? He asked about bars.
Yeah.
Kind Builder.
Just Google Kind Bar. They'll come right. You can buy them on Amazon.
The important thing to do is to avoid the granola bar section, the Pop-Tart section, all of that shit.
Pop-Tarts are the worst.
Like in my grocery store, if you look, there's like the health bars on one side.
Mm-hmm.
And the health bars are – I always feel a little weird because you have something that has a little bit of chocolate or something on it. It feels like it's like an expensive candy bar.
Yeah.
But look at the protein. Look at the fat. Look at the carbs. Look at the ratio of that. Figure out what that fits in with your diets. And pay attention to the calories because you can get into real trouble with some of those bars. Some of those bars will have 600 calories.
Yeah.
You're in the wrong
section. And a ton of sugar, again, which is never good.
Right.
I don't care what kind of diet you're on.
Exactly.
But if you don't care, if you're not like me and you don't care too much about carbohydrate, you want to eat just like a regular low-calorie type diet, the Kind Bars are the best that I find. I think better than Clif Bars, better than any of those other kind of bars that are out there. The other thing that we discovered recently, because I never used to order food from Amazon, but I can't remember, maybe I learned this from you, Norm, is that if you decide that there's something you really like and you want to buy regularly, you can buy a food subscription.
Yep. Dude, I told you about this. I do this with toilet paper.
No, but we're talking specifically about the Kind Bars.
Think consumables that you're going to have to, you know, replace on a regular basis.
The Kind Bars are $16 if you get them just the box, but they're like $13 if you get them monthly. perfect.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Terrific. I didn't know that they give you a discount on food.
Yep.
I get toothbrushes that way. I just got a toothbrush.
So Google Kind Bar or type it into Amazon. They'll come up. Yeah. If you want to try the protein bars, Google Quest Protein into Google or the Amazon search.
When's the last time you changed your toothbrush?
3 months.
Every 3 months?
I have a Sonicare with replaceable heads. I changed that. I got a replacement thing of heads.
Wow. Yeah. I should do it more frequently. I do it every 4 months, I think, like 3 times a year.
Why do you ask about that?
We'll just say,
what kind of toothbrush do you use? Just a regular one or a powered one?
No, regular one.
You got to get a Sonic toothbrush, dude.
Really? I used to do the powered
Your teeth
ones.
Will never feel cleaner than when you've brushed your teeth with a Sonic toothbrush.
I find you have a hard time getting into crevices and stuff with the Sonic one.
No problem.
I like using my own power.
Well, let me ask you this. How are you doing it? Are you swapping hands all the time as you're cleaning your face? Or God, do you brush the front of the teeth and then swap the toothbrush to your right?
Your special lady friend is on my side, you know.
You know, that's
Did
weird.
You see what
you,
she said?
Yes. You know what's weird? You're both weird. You know what's weird about doing the podcast live is I'm getting tweet responses to what we're talking about as we're on the air.
That's
very
much.
It's very bizarre. Instant feedback.
Yeah. She says you're wrong. I agree with her.
Must be a regional thing.
Well, it's a...
Maybe it's a southern thing. She's from the south. You're from the south.
Maybe. Anyway,
your fancy Savannah.
This has been
manners.
Questions. If you have questions for us,
Midnight in the Good of Eden
podcast at tested.com.
Good of evil.
I love getting questions that are about things like food bars and not what phone or what camera should I buy.
It's nice to mix it up a little.
I just like getting general questions that are not necessarily, hey, it's time for me to buy a new phone, because we give the same, I need
it
to
feels,
buy a new
it
phone
feels
advice
repetitive
every
after
week.
A while.
Yeah, exactly. Questions, podcast at tester.com. Keep them short. Under 45 seconds is preferred. A little bit of home trivia, or maybe a would you rather. We've been enjoying those lately.
Yeah, we didn't get any would you rathers this week.
There were some would you rathers, but they were either bad audio quality questions or
dumb.
Yeah, so listen to the questions before you send them in. And if it sounds like you're recording from underneath a car while it's driving down the freeway at 70 miles an hour, I'm probably not going to play that.
That's really the best tip. I mean, you give all these kind of podcast tips for recording questions. Really the best thing to do, which just, I imagine a lot of people don't do, is just listen to it and make sure it sounds okay.
Put on your headphones, and if it sounds like something we would play, if it doesn't sound like it was recorded in a bus filled with screaming children as it goes off a cliff, just send it in. If it sounds terrible, don't send it. Just do it again. I'm sorry.
Do it until you get it right.
But we don't want people to have to listen to bad sounding questions.
Right.
So, yeah. Podcast at tested.com. No WMA files. So that'll do it for us today. Big live show live. Second edition is tomorrow. Membership. If you haven't updated your credit card information, go to auth.whiskeymedia.com. Check to make sure you are up to date. Because if you do not do that and your card is not up to date, you will not be automatically resubscribed, which means you will lose such wonderful benefits as 720p HD videos. The HTML5 players on every site but tested. We're getting that really soon now, apparently. The access to subscriber streams like this, which we record every Thursday morning or afternoon, usually around 11, seems like is when the traditional go time is for this.
Don't forget Big Red Phone.
Big Red Phone, tested.com/redphone. It's on the Twitters at the Big Red Phone or at Big Red Phone, I believe.
I think it's the Big Red Phone.
Is it the Big Red Phone?
Yeah.
Okay. Mobile sites?
Mobile sites, m.tested.giantbomb.screen.
When you put it all together, you get a lot of your money.
Well, and if you're subscribing as an annual member, you don't see any ads at all.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. And you also get a $15 coupon for use in store.whiskeymedia.com.
That's awesome.
So what a savings.
Yeah,
by Grab Thumbs Hammer.
Grab Thumbs Hammer. What a savings.
We don't. Damn it. Such a funny movie. I don't show this stuff that often. I always feel a little weird about it. But it helps,
a good value.
Well, it helps us on a couple of different levels, because we want to give you guys something that is actually real valuable to you, and also some silly stuff too. We're also going to be doing daily subscriber only content starting very soon now. That'll be across all the sites. We won't have 5 pieces of daily subscriber only content on testing.
What time does it all get underway tomorrow?
Starting at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern.
Wow.
We'll go until we're done.
What a marathon it's going
to
be.
It's going to be a lot of stuff. And of course, if you are a new member, premium member, you'll get access to the subscriber only live feed.
I got all my work done a day early this week, so I could come in tomorrow
calendar?
And watch all the craziness.
Excellent.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll see if we can get you on for something. So that's it for us today. Thanks to Gary Whitta and Norman Chan, as always, for being here and talking about technology and stuff and things with us. Stay tuned, and we will have fake outtakes immediately following the show. And don't forget to come to the Big Live show tomorrow. We're going to try to archive it, but no promises, because it's a lot of stuff to archive. And
it wouldn't be live.
It's more special live. Come to the chat. Come to tested.com/live.
Be a part of the experience.
Hi there, I didn't see you.
Tested.
Silver Chan, do you have a pulse?
98 beats a minute.
That's way too high.
Tested.
So can we talk about aging?
Don't we talk about that all
no,
the time?
No, 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 not like okay, well, in okay. personal terms about bowel movements and things like that. Yeah,
it's wait, not about that.
Wait, no, not about that.
Okay. What is the Institute of Aging? I drove by that yesterday.
I don't have any idea.
It's a massive building on Geary Street.
Oh, yeah. It's been there for a long time.
Yeah. It looks like a new building.
It's for old people. No, it's been there a long
the
time.
The Institute of Aging.
Well, there's this thing called the internet. And well, on the internet, there's this thing called Google.
I don't know. You guys
I should look into it.
You're closer.
Yeah, it's a little more
me.
Experience.
One step closer. So you read books about people who live forever, right? Or you know, you have the theory of I would like to live forever.
Immortality.
My question for you guys is, do you feel like the human mind can remember things forever? Like, are we going to run out of space? If we live forever, how much space do you think we have in our brains?
What's in, you know, it's interesting. I actually, I wrote a movie about this subject.
Oh,
about people that had found a way to live forever. And one of the characters in the movie who had been around, one of the first people to have done it and been around for like 500 years.
Yeah.
Had gone insane.
Right. Ran out of space.
Yeah. Well, it's because our bodies weren't.
Well, you just couldn't handle it.
Our brains,
you
know, aren't
your brain,
to handle
your brains
that.
Aren't yeah. designed to, awesome. To handle that much information.
That much time.
And
yeah.
he was in an asylum on suicide watch. He was constantly trying to kill himself, but he couldn't because he'd made himself immortal. So he was kind of locked into like his own personal hell.
God, that's
because
horrible.
The idea is your brain is obviously genetically or chemically designed to, you know,
only be able to store.
Be able to deal with about 100 years of memories. Yeah. And even at that point, you've probably forgotten a lot of stuff. So if you just keep going on and on and on, your brain's not going to be able to deal with it. So, you know, for many reasons, immortality.
So, but do you buy into that as a theory of like, do you feel like that's what will happen? What would happen if you live forever?
Probably.
Well, no, I think eventually the people who live forever would get to a point where they just selectively remember what they want to remember, and maybe they just like live over and over and over again and speak kind of like reincarnation, but with the same body.
I like Norm's idea better than yours.
Like, they've forgotten so many friends and forgotten so many parts of their lives. It doesn't matter. They just relive it every time.
Yeah, I mean, you think about that, like maintaining a relationship with somebody over a, you know, geologic scale.
Well, I would imagine if there's ever going to be some kind of solution, it can't just be a physical solution that slows down aging or whatever. You'd also have to add extra memory.
Could
right?
you slough
you'd have to
off?
You'd have to yeah. upgrade your memory as well.
Well, or could you like dump it to long-term storage in the computer and like you go back and
sure,
occasionally...
Sure, do the annual brain dumps. And, yeah. and then...
Well, again, when we all live in the cloud, this is, you know, it's all going to be there.
The
erogenous
right? cloud.
Infinite storage.
Oh, the internet cloud, not yeah. the erogenous cloud.
No. The singularity, okay. the same singularity thing. Cloud. Okay. Yeah, where we've left our physical bodies okay. behind,
and everybody's
not,
just
it's not
yeah.
going to be an issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'll also have perfect memory, perfect recall. You'll be able to remember everything.
I don't want perfect recall.
Some people have it, you know.
Well,
Marilu Henner from Taxi.
Really?
Has it.
That's interesting.
There's a medical name for it. I can't remember the name
It'd
for it.
It'd be a good skill if you were an actor.
She can remember with absolute perfect clarity every single moment in her life.
Well, you remember every single moment. Like you relive every you feel every single happy moment and every sad moment.
Now, what that tells you is we do actually have much more capacity than we're aware of, right? Because her brain can recall it all.
And it's
we
not just, like she has an enormous brain.
Yeah, we same size
it's
as
about,
a regular
it's,
person.
It's, there no,
I know, it's
no,
about it's, connections, it's, not, yeah, not, right. size.
Something,
not size.
Something is going on there where those connections are being more efficiently used.
Or they're
than
not
they
degrading.
Are, than they are in, yeah. in the typical mind.
Well, so it's funny because for me, stuff that happened when I was a child is incredibly clear, right? Like I remember from
certain
when I was
moments.
Four. Well, not really.
What's your earliest memory?
Disney World, when I was 3 and a half.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
To know that one was.
I remember Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. I remember riding the Dumbo thing where you were on the thing that goes up and down. I remember going up in Tomorrowland.
Finally, a happy memory from when I was childhood.
Well, Mr. Toad tried to
kill
me.
I knew we'd get there eventually.
No, I remember going up in the – remember the rocket ships at Disney World where they were on top of this tower and you rode an elevator up and then you got in the rocket ships and they lifted you up and you were kind of out over space? That scared the fuck out of me. That was terrifying.
I never went to Disneyland until much later.
Well, this was Disney
yeah.
World.
Disney, well, whatever. I never been to Disney World at all.
Yeah, I remember going to Disney World. I remember meeting Mickey. And like, it's one of those things I look at pictures when, you know, when I met Gina and we went home and you do the family picture thing.
I was blown away by this discovery a few years ago at Disneyland or Disney. I guess they do it at both. That when you get when a kid gets the Mickey ears,
mm-hmm.
they you know, they kind of sequin your name.
Yeah, they tattoo it on the back of the hat.
But one of the reasons why they – yeah, so your name is – all. I've got a Mickey hat. It's got my name on the back of it.
Wait, it's not like one of those those things where you buy the keychain and
no
names.
No, they ask you your name and they personally put it on your hat.
How long does it take?
Two minutes.
10 minutes, really? Yeah.
They know what they're doing. You go to the stand, you buy the hat, and they personalize the hat.
Holy crap.
But part of the reason why they do it, and I didn't, this blew my mind, because kids, you know, will believe in it. No, what they do is the people from the park or whatever, like the Disneyland employees, will come up and say, oh,
so they can first name the kids?
They can say, are you Rachel? And she said, I'm really look like you're Rachel. Said, yes, says, oh, good. Well, I'm glad to remember Mickey has been asking about you, wanted to say hello in case he doesn't see you. And so you feel like you're a special friend of Mickey. Like, Mickey knows my name. It doesn't, you know, because kids don't put it together that the fucking name's on the back of their hat.
Yeah.
They just believe it because they want to believe in magic. It's
that's
just great.
Trickery.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Disneyland's just great.
You know, that's wrong, though.
What?
I get really freaked out.
Giving kids magical dreams is wrong.
But you think about it, you're also giving the child predators, the Chris Hansen types, a huge advantage.
He caught the
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah.
I suppose, the kids in a pretty safe environment at Disneyland, right? They're going to be with their parents all the time.
I don't know, man. You'd think if you – I don't know. We're going into a bad place here, but – I would think that is an unsafe thing.
All it takes is one guy in a duck costume.
I would not let my child wear the named Disney hat out in the real, out in the wild.
Is it really big? Is it prominent?
Yeah, it's written across the whole back. Mike Manrique had one at Future.
I don't like that. I thought it'd be like subtle on the back, like you don't identify the two.
It says Norm on the back.
Norman Chan and your social security number.
Yeah.
Just in case you lose the hat so you can get it back.
I bought Mickey
had a really bad name.
I got Mickey ears when I was there.
They have standards.
It's one of those things you've just
got to
do. I'm surprised you've never done it. If you go to Disneyland, you kind of got to get Mickey ears.
And if you get Mickey ears,
they'll ask you if you want your name on the back.
My Mickey ears were red, and they were not customized when I was a child.
I got the classic black ones.
Innovation.
But there's
you
so many kinds
down
of
Mickey ear.
There's so many kind of crazy Mickey ears. You can get Mickey ears that look like the top part of R2-D2 and all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah, the original classic ones are the best.
Are they like a... How does it work as a hat? There's no bill.
Well, it's just like a skull
cap. It's a beanie.
It's just a skull. Yeah.
If you have an enormous hat,
it's like a big yarmulke with Mickey Mouse ears.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting at.
It's bigger than a yarmulke, though. Yarmulkes are kind of flat.
That's why I said a big yarmulke.
Yeah, but it's a
dome. Yeah, it's not just like a little cap. It really is like a whole dome, like a beanie.
Yeah.
But it's got black plastic.
It's like something
ears.
That you would have worn when you pledged a fraternity.
The other thing that's amazing is if you order. Pancakes at one of the Disney World Resort restaurants. They are Mickey Mouse ear pancakes.
Yes, that is rad.
That's fucking sweet.
So they pour a special waffle iron.
All you do is you pour three circles. You can do that at home.
Oh, okay.
We can do a how-to.
They take two little ones and put them on top so they make the Mickey shape.
Well, but you can even make it all one pancake if you pour the batter right and have a big spatula.
Yes, you can do that too. But again, when you're 8 years old, you're not.
Yeah, that shit blows your mind.
You're just amazed.
I tell you, for my birthday, I got Star Wars pancake stencils.
Oh,
that's
really?
Pretty cool. Yeah, and also a Stormtrooper spatula.
Like,
I think Leah got those as well. We got ones like Yoda ear templates.
Like they're Yoda and
it's
and
Yoda and I
Darth
think
Vader.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. I wish I had a TIE Fighter one.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't know if I want to eat a TIE Fighter.
We got the Lego catalog in the mail yesterday. Seriously considering that Super Star Destroyer.
If you want to figure out a way
it's
to
like
waste
8 feet long.
Yeah, when people look at the assembly time on that and then decide if you want to spend.
Well,
that
we've
much
got
money
we bought
something.
The we bought the Death Star, which is one of the biggest pieces that they have. And we asked the guy in the store, how long does this take to build? And he said, you know, if you devote a certain amount of time to it every day, you can probably finish it in like a month. I'm like, holy shit.
That's going to take up your entire living room.
Building Lego is tremendous, though. We bought a couple of pieces from their new architecture range where they've recreated like famous, you know, architectural buildings from around the world. And I built the Lego White House. Which is a relatively simple piece to build.
The architecture,
but it's tremendously therapeutic and satisfying to just build something with your hands, even something as simple as a Lego structure. You just feel good about it. You created something. It's great.
Well, building things is good.
I mean, you know, we live in a pretty kind of emasculated world, right? Where like your fucking tree falls over and you got to call a lumberjack to come deal with it.
Fuck off. I could have killed people
if I did
that wrong.
I'm just making an example.
Why is this about the tree?
You were not able to handle that
yourself.
Do you
even mow your own lawn?
No, I'm saying because we become so pale, pasty skinned and domesticated. I don't have a lawn.
He has a lawn. I don't mow my own lawn either. I water the tree in front of my house.
I mow my own lawn in the summer, those three weeks when it grows somewhere.
You have a real lawn.
I do have a kind of lawn.
We don't really do things for ourselves anymore. And so when something practical, a practical need like a plumber or a tree guy, whatever. Do you?
Yeah. I put in my own kitchen faucet. I didn't do like the retiling of the bathroom, although I thought about it. But that seemed like it would be a real boondock. Like if we had had two showers, I would have retiled the shower.
But we're not, you know, as a species, especially in the kind of the Western industrialized world, we're not, you know, as regular people.
We're highly specialized.
We're not really handy builder type people anymore.
Yeah, it's helping the economy.
Sometimes I worry that we've become telephone sanitizers.
Well, like the guys in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
The Golden Frenchians, yeah.
Yeah, we would be on that ship that goes nowhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't need it. The hairdressers, telephone sanitizers, and there's a couple of other things.
Ad executives and insurance salesmen.
Yeah, people that they don't need.
Yeah.
Bloggers would be the new, would probably be the new version of that, as a bunch of professional gamers.
Yeah.
things that society just doesn't need.
So, 45th anniversary of Star Trek this week.
Today.
September 8th, 2011.
Yeah. Now, 45 years ago today, the first episode of Star Trek.
Hold on. Is this the anniversary of the Captain Pike episode?
No, first episode that was broadcast on CBS.
So that was the – what was the pilot of Star Trek? Did they leave Space Dock, or was it just start with a random mission?
No, start with the mission.
Yeah, there's no origin story. They're already out there.
But which mission was it?
I don't remember what the very first episode was. Wasn't it The Cage or –
The Cage was the Pike one.
Menagerie, one of those. I can't remember what they called it.
Well, Menagerie – I thought the cage was the first episode. Was the secret episode. Look, internet answer machine.
So yeah, today, 45 years. It's pretty amazing.
My favorite.
I think it's the 50 years going to be the
50 big years
one.
Will be big.
We'll see who's around then. I mean,
Shatner's invincible. He'll
The Forest and Scotty and Doohan are
sadly gone, but Nimoy and Shatner are still around.
Yep. Nimoy is looking a little rickety.
Uhura's still around.
Uhura's still there.
Chekhov and Sulu are still around.
Chekhov's only like 35 now, finally. He's a lot younger than the rest of them.
I think he's getting up there.
Walter Koenig.
Yeah.
Koenig.
The Man Trap.
The Man Trap? Is that what it was called?
Which one was that?
That's season one, episode one, September 8th, 1966.
What's the synopsis?
Dr. McCoy discovers his old flame is not what she seems after the crew members begin dying from a sudden lack of salt in their bodies.
Oh, that one.
So I like the fact that they just jumped right. There was no origin story. There's no premise pilot. They just threw you right in there, and they're already on the five-year mission.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
What's your favorite TOS episode?
Probably Space Seed.
Is that the one where...
It's Khan.
Okay. I would go with either the one where he fights the Gorn.
Yeah.
The MacGyver episode.
Or what's the one where he has to fight Spock?
Or the one where he has to fight Spock.
Okay. Well, I mean, those
time,
are the
Run Amok or Amok Time.
Amok Time. Yeah. Those are the ones that people love.
Yeah. Or City on the Edge of Forever.
I love the fact that all the old Star Trek episodes had great, because they were so heavily influenced by and often written by classic great sci-fi writers of the time, that the episodes had really kind of impenetrable, like real hardcore sci-fi type titles.
Oh, yeah. Well, except for like Spock's brain.
Well, some were kind of trashy, but they also had some really kind of intelligent sounding episode titles.
Yeah. Which is funny, because did they have the episode titles at the beginning of the episode? They ran them after the credits, right?
Yeah, in quotes they would come up. Yeah. And they kept that in Star
Mirror
Trek.
Mirror. Is my favorite episode.
Oh, I don't like Mirror Universe.
What?
Never liked Mirror Universe.
The mustaches?
Yeah.
Ugh.
And, you know, all the female crew had to wear like the kind of the cut-off midriff tops.
I did like that. I'm pro that.
There were always benefits there. The DS9 Mirror episode is actually pretty cool.
I haven't watched it enough.
They did a good job on that.
You're talking about the one where they sent back to the Tribbles episode.
No, that's not Mirror. No. Wait, there is a Mirror episode.
There's a whole Mirror series.
Which is separate to the Tribble episode on DS9.
Okay.
There may be more than one Mirror.
The Tribble episode is really good, too.
I didn't like the Mirror episode in DS9.
What's that?
I didn't like the Mirror stuff in DS9.
I did.
Mm. Okay.
TNG never did a Mirror episode.
No, they hadn't.
Which is weird.
I think the Mirror episode, like the goatee thing, became a kind of like a pop culture thing after TNG was back.
Yeah, maybe so.
After TNG was done.
Maybe so.
So it's the 45th anniversary of Star Trek. I don't think people are making a big deal out of it. The last time they made a big deal was the 30th anniversary, 15 years ago.
It kind of has to end on a zero to be a really big anniversary.
I guess the 30th anniversary was a huge deal, because that was when Star Trek was still in its prime.
And there
was a TV special.
Yeah.
Enterprise
that night.
It was right when
before First Contact came out.
Yeah.
So we're talking about like 97. I was in middle school. It was amazing. I got the books. They were like special commemorative books.
Oh yeah,
for the 30th anniversary.
That helped you or harmed you with the ladies?
You tell your friends that these things.
Okay,
you just bought them.
These are secrets you kept to yourself.
Oh yeah,
magic of Amazon. Yeah, the worst thing ever in like sixth grade was going to the mall to buy Star Trek Extended Universe books, and then like having to get from the bookstore out to your mom's car without bumping into anybody. That was that was terrifying.
When I was about 10 social years suicide. Old, I had this Star Trek. What they used to call annuals, which is like a hardcover book, but it's basically just comic books inside. Yeah. And it was a bunch of Star Trek stories from the comic book universe. And when I was 10, I must have been about 10, maybe 12. I can't imagine I was much older than that. And I bought some liquid paper, some whiteout. And I whited out all the captions, all the speech dialogue bubbles. And I replaced them. I rewrote all the dialogue with the most abject filth you could possibly imagine.
Oh, I would pay money to see this.
It's one of those things. Again, you talk about what you would like to have your old memories back. I wish I still had that. I don't know.
It's like the South Park with the Scroody McBoogers.
I still have the 12-volume zombie apocalypse epic that I drew as a comic book when I was about 14.
Oh, you should publish
that. I've still got those. Still got all the originals.
From the archives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they're pretty shitty.
I'm sure.
I used to be a pretty good cartoonist when I was a kid, and I can't do it anymore. It's one of those things that I wish I'd have developed more. Huh. Well, I hate people that can draw. I'm so envious of people that can draw really well. Like my friend,
I draw different things.
Like a friend of mine who's a comic book artist, we went out to a diner one time to have lunch, and he's just drawing on it, just doodling on a napkin. And he's doodling the Incredible Hulk. And it's like, it's the best fucking doodle. Like, I mean, it's like comic book quality. Like, how the fuck do you do that? And I've done comic book signings where people bring the comic book up to sign, and the artist is sitting next to me, and I'll write like, you know, Herp Derp, Gary Witter or whatever. Like, I can't think of anything interesting to
stay
write.
Stay cool. See you
and
next
then the, And then the artist will draw like a little sketch. Like, it's just instantly brilliant. I'm like, you can't do that in writing. I mean, you know, unless you can come up with something ingenious to write every time. There's no immediate way to demonstrate your skill as a writer the way there is as an artist.
Because the only thing you could do to demonstrate your skill as a writer on the spot is to probably say something mean about the person or funny or entertaining.
Well, I mean, you saw the one that I signed at PAX, right? I just said hello. That's how fucking ingenious I am on the spot.
Deep.
Yeah. I couldn't think of anything. Remember the guy that always had to sign his report card? That was the guy, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty shitty grades.
Well, that's why I felt like he didn't deserve a better sentiment.
You could have written Herp Derp.
And that might have to be my signature from now on.
Herp Derp, Gary Whitta.
Herpy Derpy.
Also, the 45th anniversary, you told me of you won a stump or something. No, that's cricket. Cricket is the stump, right?
What?
World Cup.
Oh, the World, yeah, because also in 1966, that's all, it's sad now, 45 years ago. Holy shit.
You don't remember.
England won the World Cup for the one and only time. We beat West Germany.
So at that point, World Cup, England and Wales and Scotland all compete separately, right?
1966. Yeah, I mean, I think we always competed separately.
Okay.
But East and West Germany were two separate countries.
Yeah, of course.
We beat West Germany.
Men or women? Oh, wait, no, East Germany was the one with the women.
What? Okay.
Never mind.
Anyway, the interesting story that I was telling Norm before the podcast was the World Cup after we won it in 1960 was stolen by bad guys. And they tried to hold it to ransom, and they were threatening to melt it down.
Is it the same World Cup, the trophy every
same
every
one,
time?
The Jules Rimet Trophy? Oh, actually, no, it's a different one now. In 1966, they changed the design. The one that you see now that looks kind of like a big melty globe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was brought in afterwards. The one that we won in 1966 was a different trophy.
Was it made of gold or something? Why did they steal it? Was it just sentimental value?
It's made of gold, and obviously it has tremendous sentimental value. And they were basically
World Cup.
It was an item of like national pride for the people of England. And so these thieves somehow stole it, and they were holding it to ransom, and they were threatening to melt it down. And in the end, they didn't go through with it. They just threw it away. They threw it into like a hedge, a bush, in some suburban street. And a guy was walking.
That's the worst place to hide.
Well, they weren't trying to hide it. They just wanted to get rid of it because they worried they would be caught.
Get rid of the evidence. Is this what happened to the Enigma machine too?
Maybe.
Didn't somebody steal an Enigma, like an original Enigma, one of the only surviving ones, and like they found it on the side of the road in a garbage can
maybe
someplace?
Maybe so. The interesting part about the World Cup story was, though, it was considered lost, and no one thought they were ever going to find it. And a guy was out walking his dog, and the dog found it in the bushes. And the dog, Pickles, became a national celebrity.
Yeah, I was going to say, did the dog meet the queen?
He was very famous, very celebrated as the dog who found the World Cup.
Wow.
It's one of those kind of things.
It was Pickles?
If you ask almost anyone from England in my generation, what's the name of the dog who found the World Cup, they'll immediately know.
Can we talk about dog names for a minute?
Okay.
Because I've noticed an alarming trend. I'm guilty of it. You are too. People give their dogs human names.
I didn't give my dog the name. When I got my dog from the pound, it already had
Oh,
that
you got
name.
The dog with
and
the name.
And it already responded
to
it.
I want to hear your take on this. When you adopt a dog, is it okay to change the name of the dog?
It depends on how old the dog is.
If the dog's already responding to one name, I wouldn't confuse. I'd stick with it.
When we got Chloe, she didn't know.
What was her original name?
Cutie.
Ooh.
It was a puppy name, though. So like people give dogs puppy names. Now, the girl that my sister got her dogs from is very smart, and she... Because the dogs are claimed in advance, she gives the dogs – she calls the dogs by the person who's going to buy the dog. So she called my sister's dog Linley, so she knew her name. Like, the dog knew my sister's name immediately.
Huh.
Which is really good.
But that's confusing, though. Yeah. Does the dog think it's named that?
Well, it's like 8 weeks old when they are 12. I don't know how old dogs are when you get them from a breeder, but it was like just after weaning and all that. So it wasn't imprinted enough that it was just familiar with the name, which was a good thing. But Chloe, on the other hand, had been called 15 different names and didn't know her name when we got her. So we just changed her name.
You didn't let her pick her own name, right?
Dogs don't speak.
Well, no, it could be like Caesar and, Planet of the Apes. The fourth one where he puts his finger in the book and then they pick their names.
Oh, I didn't know that. Dogs don't have fingers either.
Pause.
Should we talk about my
Shreddy balls?
Shreddy.
You want to talk about Shreddy balls?
Shreddy balls.
So this is a funny Saturday Night Live skit.
One of the all time classics.
Yeah.
And now they've made an ice cream.
They're licensing. So this started with Colbert. Well, it started with fish food. Probably.
Cherry Garcia. Probably. I think it's probably the same.
But I think that was a tribute, not a license.
Yeah, and then they've licensed all kinds of celebrities. Yeah. Dave Matthews Band has his own flavor.
Willie Nelson has that horrible peach cobbler.
Willie Nelson, and more recently Jimmy Fallon, Stephen Colbert. Some of these guys all have their
limited
own flavors.
Runs.
Yeah,
unless well, maybe super not necessarily popular. Limited, but
yeah, depends how well they sell.
Well, I mean, Stephen Colbert's flavor, American Dream, is one of the greatest Ben and Jerry flavors.
It's high on the list,
and I think they've kept it around because it's so good.
Oh, so the Shreddy balls they announced last night, and
Shreddy balls,
I can't get behind it.
It sounds gross. It sounds bad.
It really has chocolate malted milk balls in there. That sounds pretty good to me.
I don't like chocolate malted milk.
You don't like Whoppers?
I do not like Whoppers.
I love them.
Whoppers are one of those candies to me, like molasses treats and peppermints that were invented before candy technology had advanced to the whatchamacallit phase.
Okay.
I think that they're an inferior, they're proto candy.
What's the alcohol content on the
rum ice cream?
Yeah, rum ice cream.
It's negligible.
In order to get drunk.
So a friend of mine who lives in Phoenix has actually developed boozy enough ice cream that you can get drunk on it. It's like 8%
ice cream. What percent do they have to say on the carton?
I think it's
you can get tipsy eating. I don't know if they have these here, but they're very popular in England around Christmas time. They always get busted out. I like chocolate liqueurs, like a little chocolate
those
liquor bottle.
Those
it's got like boozy syrup inside. If you ate a whole box of those, you'd probably get a bit buzzed.
Yes. The ice cream, it doesn't take much rum to give a lot of rum flavor is the upshot.
Right.
And they may not even use real rum. The rum extract tastes just like rum. It's just not – the booze has been burned off.
Yeah. I mean, rum raisin ice cream has been around forever. No one's been getting liquored up eating
it. If you could, it would be bad for your health.
I'm going to try. Every time they bring out one of these novelty flavors – I mean, you know, we searched high and low for the Jimmy Fallon late night snack, which in the end I didn't like, but we were interested to try.
I'm going
to
go try and find the Shreddy balls. Maybe we'll do an impromptu segment on the live show tomorrow.
Were they already in stores?
That was what I couldn't
find out.
It was
announced yesterday whether or not it's in stores. Yeah. I don't know. But very interesting.
Alec Baldwin was tweeting heavily about it last night. He was very excited.
As he should be. I mean, it's one of the great things to achieve, right? I mean, if you're Jimmy Fallon or one of these guys, like, you got your own ice cream flavor, I mean, you've made it at that point.
Well, but it's marketing, dude, because that way they get free advertising on Fallon. You make it Jimmy Fallon ice cream.
I'm just saying personally to know that you've got ice cream with your face on the carton. I mean,
that's got to
be a pretty cool...
Yeah, I think it does.
I don't think it does.
Oh, no?
But still, something that you were a part of
has become
such a part of the pop culture lexicon that it now has its own ice cream flavor. Yes. That's pretty awesome.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, if you're Jimmy Fallon, you probably think you've made it at the point you get your own late night talk show. Right. And the ice cream is just, the benefit on top of that.
Five unremarkable years on Saturday Night Live following it up with.
I think he was always pretty good.
I like Fallon. I'm a big fan of Fallon. But.
Fallon is, and his talk show got off to a slightly rocky start, but now it's really hit its stride. Fallon's a lot more talented than I think people give him credit for. Musically very talented.
He's a good singer. He's good. When he's not breaking, he's good in skits. My favorite thing that Fallon does on that show, though, are the games, the rigged games that he plays with celebrity guests, and he always sets it up so he can win and then never wins.
He's actually a remarkable musical impressionist. Like, he's Neil Young is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's just a good impressionist in general.
Yeah, he's very good. Very talented. Very talented guy.
I have to be on SNL.
Well, no. There's people on SNL that aren't, multi-character people. There's two types of people on SNL. There's impressionists, and then there's people that are just funny.
Who have, like, bits.
Yeah.
Two bits.
Shticks.
Two shticks. I know who you're referring to.
I'm not talking about Horatio Sands.
No, you're talking about what's her name?
Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig.
Yeah. Yes, I don't think she's been funny in some things since I thought she wasn't funny.
Well, the problem that you get with people like Kristen Wiig, who I think is insanely talented, and people like Will Ferrell, who was kind of like the last mega breakout guy before her, is that the show ends up relying on them too much. And they end up in every sketch, and they bring back the recurring characters too often, and they just recycle.
Or it's like the Ben Stiller joke where the Zoolander joke where every bit that they do is the same bit just with a different set and trappings.
Right.
Because all of Kristen Wiig's bits.
I mean, I'm always happy to see certain bits come back. Like, what up with that? I'm never unhappy when they do that again. You know, some of these things are kind of.
I like Stefan.
I love Stefan.
Stefan is just
Stefan is fantastic.
Which one is that?
Stefan
is the gay guy who comes on Weekend Update. He's the and tells you about all the outrageous clubs.
Well, he's the tourism. He's supposed to be like the tour guy.
He's supposed to be giving like family tourism tips, and he's telling you about these kind of kinky gay fetish clubs.
Right, and he always breaks every time. It's designed to break.
Breaks every time.
Who plays that?
It's not.
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader. Yeah.
Okay.
The funny thing about that.
Who's insanely talented impressionist.
Super
incredible
talented
impressionist.
So this is one of those things. Sometimes you get lost reading Wikipedia articles, right? And I got into the SNL Wikipedia articles. And then you get to like the list of characters on SNL.
Oh, yeah.
And it's you know, 25 pages. But I went down to the Stefan one. I read the Stefan article. And the interesting thing about the Stefan thing that I learned from reading Wikipedia is that they change the shit that he says up until the moment the show starts. So frequently he's reading those cards and has never seen them. Because they want him to break.
Yeah.
And he's only done the whole thing without breaking once out of like 25
times. And that obviously becomes part of what, you know, it's infectious. Okay. What's your favorite SNL bit or character of all time?
Oh, man, that's too hard to... That's...
Was there an era where you were watching it like as a kid where it was the cool thing to watch? Like, what was your generation?
Oh,
the
Eddie
SNL?
Murphy years.
Eddie Murphy?
Yeah.
Well, that was Eddie Murphy, Dana Carvey. Sandler, right?
Up through Sandler. And then... Like, Sandler was when I was in high school, I guess. Maybe just college. I can't remember.
Yeah. Generation gaps.
Yeah.
Ferrell and Fallon.
Yeah, because you came in way after that.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess Eddie Murphy was probably a little bit old. Like, that was the rerun stuff that came on when I was a kid.
Do you remember Buckwheat Gets Shot and things like that?
I remember Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Oh, that was the best.
Right, the Cabbage Head Kid.
The Neighborhood. It was great, yeah.
Yeah, I remember Gumby, and I remember Toonces.
Toonces, the driving cat, right? Fantastic.
A lot of that stuff.
This is all way before Norm's time.
Like
you need to get some of the classic DVDs because they're doing all the different years.
They're on Netflix, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're up to the Eddie Murphy type years yet. They're still like in very early Belushi type.
The other thing I had was an audio disc that was like selected bits from the 76 season, the very, very first season. So like the bees and the job application, the Richard Pryor, Chevy Chase.
Right.
Super duper racist.
That was pretty cutting edge for its time. I mean, in fact, you could do that today. You could not do that today.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
The Chevy Chase bits are always good. Like the Gerald Ford bits rather were always good.
Yeah.
I'm not a scholar of SNL like Dave Snyder is. But I've watched a lot of old Saturday Night Lives over the years. Because for a while it was on like Nick at Night or some cable TV channel every night.
Did you ever see As World Turn?
No.
It was from the Hartman era. It was like a daytime soap opera, but it was populated entirely by monosyllabic characters like Tarzan and Frankenstein.
I did see that. I think the commercials during the like mid-90s peaked with Canis, you know, the homoerotic fragrance for dogs.
I got to say, Schlitzgay beer is probably Schlitzgay the best thing ever good. Did.
The other one was the investment agency where they were like the worst investment agency in the world. Were like, we'll keep all of our clients' investments in a list.
Anderson, whatever. Yeah,
and they cut that one was good because they cut back to it like four times throughout the episode. And it was making fun of Smith Barney or something like that.
That was a good one.
Old white guy. If your client asks you if you ever caught not paying attention during a meeting with a client and he asks you what you're thinking about, what we're talking about, just say your investments.
So wait, what's Norm's era?
It's Farrell, Fallon.
Really? Wow,
Sherry
that's really
O'Terry.
Recent. Yep. Yeah. Monty Shallon and the cheerleaders and what was the name of the Catholic schoolgirl superstar? Mary Ann
that's
Gallagher.
Probably even a little late. Yeah. Mary Catherine Gallagher.
Yeah.
So you remember those guys?
Right at the end of that.
Yeah.
It's like mid to late 90s.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did Sandler and Ferrell overlap?
No. I don't believe so.
It was Rob Schneider and all those guys.
Rob Schneider, Dana Carvey, John Lovitz, that era.
But Rob Schneider was there for a long fucking time because he outlasted Adam Sandler.
Yeah. You know, remember the one thing that I was never really a big Rob Schneider fan on SNL, but you remember the one piece, the bit that he did that I used to love?
Which one? I can't remember any of his bits now, actually, thinking about it.
The Ted Meister.
Oh, that guy was good.
Making some copies. Yeah. Like,
well, he did a lot of
real, I always loved it.
He did a lot of real discomfort humor.
Yeah.
Like a lot of like, this is hard to watch.
Wait, where was Farley? Funny. Was that generation as well, right?
That was David Spade. Farley were like late 80s, early
90s. Yeah, yeah, because of course they were the same generation.
Yeah. Yeah, Farley's I think Down by the River was one of my
favorites. I always found him too much. Like comedians that are always so on, like to that broad, but they can only ever play. And I found Will Ferrell to be like this towards the end. We can only play really kind of grotesquely outrageous type characters like that. I find it to be too much.
The Actors Studio that Will Ferrell did was always really good.
Oh yeah,
I mean that skit is responsible for that.
Oh, because he played
popular.
James Lipton.
He
right?
played yeah. James Lipton.
And didn't he interview James Lipton on the show at one point?
Either that or James Lipton interviewed him as him.
He interviewed himself as James Lipton.
That's it. Yeah, Will Ferrell is on inside the Actors Studio. Yeah, that was always funny. Celebrity Jeopardy is my all time favorite running skit though.
The best way to watch SNL, I'll maintain though, is because it's on pretty late and we get old. You know, is TiVo it, watch it Sunday morning and fast forward through the stuff that clearly isn't working. Because I mean, on a good day, they might hit 30 or 40% of the stuff is actually funny.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty good ratio. Knowing what I know now.
You know what? I challenge you to put together a 90-minute comedy show every week and have a better than a 300 batting average.
I'm telling you, it is not an easy thing to do. And we don't even do a comedy show.
Right.
The thing that was always funny, like in the old days, I would TiVo that. And when we first got the TiVo, we would TiVo that and then we'd come home and watch it Saturday night. Because you know you'd right. maybe have a couple cocktail when you got home and
right.
and you know
watch, you got to have some buffer because you don't want to be stuck in a sketch that won't end and isn't funny.
No,
or again because they have recurring sketches like certain sketches that I know I don't like.
Appalachian Hospital.
No, I like Appalachian Emergency Room or whatever it's called.
So bad. Always Chris Parnell.
But like the Brooklyn
ass.
Ladies, like I was always bad. Fast forward through those
Brooklyn
guys.
Humor.
Yeah. Again, it's very you've got it. You've got. I think you've got to. Oh, come on.
No, I'm not saying fast forward through Wayne's World. I'm saying that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, from that era. From that era. Because Mike Myers was the same era as... probably the generation that...
Mike
the
Myers
most,
was
the most
after
mega
Eddie, just after
out.
Eddie Murphy.
Right. But same before, as Sandler and Schneider and that
I think
era,
Sandler
right?
and Schneider were after Mike Myers.
Is this interesting radio that we're doing right
I
now?
I
can't
know.
Tell. I'm
not
bored. I find
I'm
it
so
interesting
bored.
To talk about. Norm's too cool for SNL. It's way too mainstream.
I watched Mad TV when I was a kid.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck that and fuck you.
When I was a kid.
Fuck you all to hell. Mad TV was never funny. Mad TV was such a fucking bad knockoff of SNL.
It was a terrible
In Living Color was the only knockoff that was good. SNL knockoff That's that was funny.
I was Homie Clown was great.
Yeah, Chappelle not Chappelle.
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey and the Wayans brothers.
Yeah, and of course Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, Jennifer Lopez was
a
dancer,
she was a fly girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
But they never really had any breakout.
Well, Jim Carrey.
Well, no, sorry, I was going to say breakout brothers. Characters or sketches or anything like Homie
well,
Clown.
Well, the Fire Marshal.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything else from that show except for the fire marshal.
Oh, the super gay guy that Damon Wayans played?
Yeah, that was really offensive now that I think back on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this stuff fake outtakes?
Was that it? I feel like what happened was we set such an impossibly high bar.
Nothing can
last
the reset.
Week.
Had the reset.
Quite possibly the best, most popular at least fake outtakes we ever did. So it's going to be hard to top that. Anytime soon, I think.
Well, we need some good would you rather.
You just got to let it flow. Like that kind of, I've made this.
Sometimes
made
it works.
You can't
it
say, let's talk about this. It's got to just happen. Like last week, talking about you finding a bag of raccoons.
Talking about
we
ostrich.
Did not, that just happened.
That just happened.
Dude, it's organic.
Last night, let me tell you, when I was walking around looking at, and everywhere I went, the As Seen on TV store was gone.
That's sad.
Yeah.
I literally at one point, I know I tweeted it, but I thought, shit, I'm going to have to go find a bag of raccoons.
What were you looking for? Stuff to put on the live show?
Yeah, we have an As Seen on TV segment on the live show.
Walgreens will
I ended up going to Target. I'm going to go to Walgreens on the way home.
But the As Seen on TV store is really the Aladdin's cave for all that crazy
well,
stuff.
Well, it's just, yeah.
Well, we're talking about how when you go there now, I mean, it's not like, this is interesting. It's more like, have this.
Yeah, that's the problem is we, like, very quickly we tapped all of the stupid funny shit from the As Seen on TV store.
Are there none left in the Bay Area?
There's one supposedly on 20th Ave, but I'm not going to go all the way out there.
Because they're always in these like places in the malls where other stores went out of business and then they just kind of rented it for a while.
Yeah, it's like between the Sanrio store and the Shoe
like
Wonderland.
Like the Spirit Halloween stores that crop up on the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always think that's kind of appropriate, you know, because the Spirit Halloween stores always seem to kind of rise up out of the graves of dead businesses.
And then fits.
And then they're gone again.
The fog engulfs it and then spears.
And the other thing about the scene on TV thing is, like, I think a lot of that stuff is the same company. Like, they either buy people's or they sell placement or something, because all of those As Seen on TV sites are the same template with, like, a YouTube video embedded in the same basic spot. And then the stores have all the same stuff.
I can never stay in them for very long. I always go into anytime I see an As Seen on TV, it's like, oh, we're going in there. And I'm going, oh, this is really cool. And they're like, literally 2 minutes later, I got to get the fuck out of here. No. This is too depressing.
I went into an As Seen on TV store and spent $200 once, and they were fucking flummoxed. Like, they didn't know what to do, because I bought like six or seven weeks worth of stuff.
You became that guy.
Yeah, I was the greatest customer they'd ever had.
If you were offered a lot of money, let's say double whatever your current salary is, to become the next Billy Mays, would you do it?
Not enough.
Why not?
Triple your salary.
Why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah. Like, so some guy comes to you and says, look, I run the biggest infomercial network out there.
I don't want
to. We look for a new Billy Mays. We've seen your product demonstrations, the way you do these quick looks and things on testing. We think you're great. We want to make you the next Billy Mays.
Fuck you. No, I just
here's a $250,000 a year.
Well, you know, Billy Mays, he was very adamant about he was very involved in the product selection process. It wasn't like,
oh yeah, so you get to be involved in all that. You're not just the front man. Like,
yeah,
you get to select the product.
You got to pimp this product.
They all have to meet with your personal approval.
If they have to meet with my personal approval, we would have done one product out of the last year. The only product I would recommend out of the last year that we've tested on an As Seen on TV,
which is what,
is probably the cap that Norm broke my thumb with last week.
Oh yeah, you like that?
No, I didn't, but it worked.
It's because you didn't like it that you can recommend it.
Yes, I can recommend that because
nothing else.
Most of that stuff is utter shit. They're all bad.
No OxyClean.
Those choppers are bad. The egg choppers
are terrible.
The fucking bacon cookers were all awful.
But you're being offered
a bacon genie wasn't bad.
You're being offered a lot.
The bacon genie was bad. They were all bad.
$500,000 a year, full medical benefits.
I look at my personal. I like to think that my advice is worth.
If you were to turn that down, don't you think Genie would be mad at you?
I
think of the lovely life you could lead with all that.
We can move someplace cheap and not in the Bay Area.
I am Will Smith for OxyClean. Clean specialist.
Bam!
Powered by the air you breathe, activated by the water you and I drink. It's OxyClean.
I don't think Will's got the energy levels to be one of those, because you've got to be so enthusiastic all the time. I don't think he could fake it.
Did you not see my coverage of this Specialty Coffee Association of America show in Houston, Texas?
Yeah, but that's stuff that the whole point is that stuff you're genuinely excited about. You're going to have to feign excitement.
And 20 cups of coffee a day. Well, 20 cups of coffee a day, I can be excited about anything.
So Norm would do it. You would do it, right?
Yeah. I would do it.
Wait, what's the baseline? As a multiple of your salary, would double your salary be enough to make you go jump ship and be the new Billy Mays?
Yes.
See, Will knows what's up. So Norm knows what's up.
God damn it.
Why wouldn't you do it? Is it because you would
hate,
do you feel like it has no integrity?
Here's the thing. I don't like... Like, I am really concerned about the amount of shit that gets pushed at people every day.
But nobody has to buy it. No one's making them buy it.
And it's not all shit.
It is not all shit. That's fair.
Just most of it. There are some good products out there.
At 8 o'clock last night and walking around and looking at the kind of useless bullshit that people were buying and excited about makes me really worried about the future of
humanity. But that's their choice. If they want to buy that, you can't impose your taste on those
people. But you change the system from within.
But the way marketing works and the way advertising works, it's a real – like there's a real – psychological stuff that happens that makes people feel like they need something. It's like you and the iCade as being a perfect gift, and it's something you would use once, put in a closet, and then throw away.
So you feel like you're contributing to the
downfall of Western civilization,
the morass that is just like consumable disposable society.
Right now, when we sit here and say, "Hey, don't buy this," we're fighting that.
What if they asked you to go on QVC and do like the electronic slot where you're selling like Dell Gateway laptops and stuff, and you're
I wouldn't do that.
I don't think I would do that.
Isn't that classier though? Why wouldn't you do that? But
that's classy.
Pieces of microwave plastic bacon gadgets and stuff.
I wouldn't do QVC.
Why not? What's the difference? You'll sell this cheap garbage, but you won't sell like
doesn't
real
have
products.
Cheap garbage. And
talking to the microphone.
The way they do infomercials, I think is there's a lot of humor in there, and it's not as boring as
I don't think you can bring dick and fart jokes into infomercials, Norm.
Well, no, it's a lot of meme potential.
If Norm went to work on infomercials, who would we replace him with?
Well, I don't know. I guess you'd put an ad up and interview candidates.
No.
Why not?
Norm. I'd have to call his evil twin brother.
This is a dangerous road you're going down. You don't want to give Norm the impression he's irreplaceable. That's you want to make true. It sound like replacing him would be very easy.
No, you're right. It would be pretty easy.
What would you? I mean, so what would you do? Let's say Norm got hit by a bus tomorrow, and it's you've got to replace him.
Well, I have some tissue samples. We could grow a clone in a few months.
Wouldn't be the same though.
Eh, close enough.
Yeah, I saw the sixth day.
Yeah,
just look under eyelids, right? How many dots?
I think you could put an ad up. You get some people.
We get a lot of people.
Poach someone from one of the other tech sites.
Yeah.
Easy.
Go get somebody from Gizmodo or Engadget or something.
Well, Engadget, not so much Gizmodo.
I don't know. The Gizmodo guys have a lot of heart. They just have, bad direction.
Yeah. Under your tutelage, they could really realize their potential.
And on that note, we'll see you guys next week, Thursday morning. If you want to watch this live,